Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday edition of our program. It's Bill and Wendy.
You can just thank him again. He's back in here.
Steve,
why
Cochran's
do you guys
back.
Forget everything?
What did you forget, Steve? You need your official ID card.
Oh, it was in your pocket.
In your ID card pocket.
How could it possibly be there?
Oh, no.
Seriously.
Hey, good talking to you.
Thanks, Steve.
Why can't guys keep... You guys need a man purse.
That wouldn't be a terrible thing to have. Now, one of my daughters explained to me over the weekend, last weekend, that the reason that nobody's wearing cargo shorts anymore, except for me, is that there's too many pocket options and it's too many opportunities to lose things because there's pockets everywhere.
Yeah, but at least they're on your person.
Yeah, that's true. But
instead of in your purse.
It's still disconcerting when you know you're missing one thing and you go, okay, I only have 12 pockets. So are they in these? No. These? No. These? No.
You know the dance, the Macarena?
Do I know it?
I know you live it.
I live it.
But you know where you kind of pat your chest pocket,
sure.
Your other chest pocket, your back pocket, your front
right.
pocket. Since I'm married to Jimmy Mack, I call it the Macarena because every time we're trying to leave to be somewhere on time, it's like, where's my phone? Where are my keys? Where are my glasses?
That was not invented as a dance. That was just guys looking for stuff, and it just became a dance.
Steve Bertrand had a man bag, and it was.
You call him that sometimes, and I think that's offensive.
I do not.
Don't you? I thought I heard you call him that.
This is a sad story.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got to say spoiler alert.
No, I'm not saying spoiler alert
Wait
anymore.
Wait a minute. Bruce Willis was dead?
Yeah, at the end, you find out Bruce Willis had been dead through the whole movie.
Great. Now more people know.
I'm sorry. What's your sad story?
You mean Bruce Willis was frozen in carbonite and wasn't living?
Yeah.
Wow. Steve's car got broken into and he lost that man bag that he always brings to work and he loved it.
Was it broken into in our lot, Steve?
No, it was up in the suburbs.
Oh, and, no.
Any it word took... on that?
Well, it's gone. They're not
going
to find
it. Well, I was hoping,
it.
You know, we put an APB out for his man
bag. Did that just happen last week?
Last Friday.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What else did they steal? They stole your bag and what else?
Nothing. They just broke into through the window and...
Just to get your bag?
Well, you know.
It was Steve Bertrand's man bag.
I guess. All right.
Autographed.
All right.
It's a lovely caramel color. But, you know, it looked like it might have had a computer in it. I should have hidden it, but I knew there was nothing of value in it. The thieves didn't.
But he left it right on the seat, on the passenger seat.
Do you remember when it was fashionable, you would see signs in people, and maybe this goes on, I haven't seen it in a long time, there'd be signs in people's windows when their cars were parked that said, nothing of value in car. As a deterrent,
I have never
to people.
Seen one of those.
You
signs.
Never
no.
saw that.
I saw baby on board.
No, but who would? You wouldn't break into a car to steal a baby, would you? That's a little,
I certainly wouldn't.
That's a little much. But I used to see that all the time. People would put a big sign in their window that said "Nothing of value in car." Please don't break windows, or please don't rob my car. There's nothing of value. It was always words to that effect.
That makes me think there was something of value in there.
Ah,
reverse psychology.
That's very good.
I put beware of dog on my car.
I put, please don't steal 8-track tape player.
Because you'll ruin my dashboard.
Right. But some criminals are retro. Maybe they want it.
That is very popular. I mean, you see all the turntables that are out there now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to go to Goodwill anymore to get one.
What store? I was in a store a day or
Urban
so
Outfitters.
Ago.
Urban Outfitters.
No, Urban Outfitters has always had
yeah.
that stuff. But I was just in some store in Old Orchard last night, and they had a bunch of, it was in Macy's. They had a huge display of turntables. Who's that for?
My
Are kids
son.
Into that? Yeah.
I got a big dilemma, guys.
What is it?
Michael wants, he's 16 years old. He's very into music. He's very into Bob Dylan. I took him to see Bob Dylan. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So sort of this is kind of my fault. There is a Bob Dylan box set that has, I don't know, 18 CDs. It has... books, it has everything. It is it covers the year 1965 to 1966, every single solitary recording,
everything,
every note of music he recorded in that year period, Michael's favorite year. He wants it on his Christmas list. It is $600.
It's Christmas, for goodness sake.
I thought you loved him. Don't you love him?
Are you listening to me?
He will remember this gift until, like, Valentine's Day.
Can you
Day.
Put a price on love? I didn't think you could.
Listen to me.
I guess you can.
He could get a used car for that, although he doesn't drive, so that won't be useful.
That'd be wasted money, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
He could get a new guitar.
He could.
He's already got guitars.
this is somebody he loves, I wouldn't even be thinking about it.
$600.
Yeah, you know, you could probably stream 99% of all that.
That's what I'm thinking. I know the books aren't included if you stream it, but I can't. And everybody said, oh, what about that thing Michael really wants? We'll all pitch in.
Right.
I said, no.
You won't allow that.
I can't. Can I?
Would you get him other stuff too?
Well, you cannot allow to fulfill a Christmas wish.
But
is it?
Really, I'm really in a quandary because everyone will pitch in and say everybody, you know, would spend $100
on
it.
Well, that just
but
made it
easy.
But it's
$600. I love music. You know me.
Right, of course.
$600.
Yeah. I wouldn't even be thinking about it. I'd just buy it for him.
I might buy it for him.
Bill, you want to buy it for him?
Yeah.
Should we do that?
You want to split it?
You want to?
Steve and I will get it for him.
I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Nothing says Christmas like...
Seriously, what would you do?
Oh, that is a lot of money.
For that? If
that
it was, you know,
money.
A guitar, an amp, which I've already bought him many.
How about this, though? And I know you know this from the box sets. For people who are not familiar with the box sets, it's one of those, here's everything this artist has done. He's probably got most of it already, doesn't he?
No.
He does, right?
No, because these are bootlegs. These are like, you know, a Bob Dylan, five different versions of I Want You, all done different ways in the studio. And he is a music connoisseur.
Right.
He will love this.
What's the lowest amount you think that this is worth?
I was laying.
You could find it. There's ways to find it on the internet.
No, there isn't because it's only sold by Sony Music.
$600?
No, because I looked. Trust me, I would have even bought it used.
Is there
missing
a coupon
a booklet
in the Penny Saver this week?
I looked. Because he came home last night, and I said, Michael, listen, I love you more than anything. I want you to have a great Christmas. But
as long as it's under $600.
I said, even if it was $300, I would gasp and say, that's ridiculous for a box set, I'd still do it.
I think I can help you out. I bet Barnes & Noble has it because they have a music section that's pretty extensive. And I've got coupons for them that are like 20% off, which is a significant savings on $600.
You'd give me your coupon?
I didn't say I'd give it to you.
Well, then would you let me borrow it?
I would hold it over your head and make you keep jumping and
that's
trying
the one
to
way to get me to exercise.
Yeah, I would,
see,
I would
but
do
I'm
that.
Sure they don't have it there.
I bet they've got, really, I've got some pretty obscure things there, music-wise. I really do think they would have it. I really
so
do.
So it would be $120 off. Of
right, so now we're at $480. Which is a little bit better.
Are you listening to yourself?
It's a lot of money. And then, because you have two kids, because I've been through this with my daughters, if you get one of them an incredible gift like that, you have to balance it off and get the other one an incredible gift.
I'll just tell Dylan it was $50.
Because honesty isn't always the best policy.
I think he knows it's $600 because he said, are you getting that for Michael? I said, no, I'm not getting that for Michael. We don't spend, I mean,
that's a lot of money.
$600,
that is
that's
a lot
all
of money.
He gets.
Right. That's a ton of money.
But then, you know, for Dylan's birthday, he wanted this portable game system. It looks like a briefcase, and you put your Xbox One in there and strap it in, and it has a 19-inch screen, so you can bring it anywhere. And it's pretty awesome. That was like $380. That was for his birthday, which we all pitched in for.
Wow.
And Michael is my favorite. I'm
you're
kidding.
You're not supposed to say that out loud.
No.
You can think it, but you're not supposed to say
it. Today he might be my favorite. Yesterday it was Dylan.
Right, it changes, doesn't it?
It does.
It's like the AP poll in college football. All right, let's do this.
I'm looking at Barnes & Noble
right
now.
Let's take a break. Believe me, I can get you 20% off on that.
I'm going to ruin Christmas.
This would ruin Christmas. It would.
God.
It would ruin Christmas.
Baby Jesus, thank you so much.
A quick break. More talk, if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Go on.
Could I just read you for $600?
Sure.
Bucks? Yeah. Somebody texted, Bob Dylan should come by and sing to Michael.
I don't think it'd be that big of a price difference.
And then,
that's a lot of money.
I know. 708, thanks for rubbing our noses in the fact you must be way overpaid what you do to consider spending so much money for a teenager's gift. First of all,
agreed.
I am saying no. The rest of the family is saying, we'll all pitch in. There's 10 of us.
So if you all pitched in,
that would
and there's 10 of
gets.
You, it's $60 a person. That's not outrageous.
No.
But then will he feel bad as his brother's opening gift after gift after gift after gift, and he just gets the one?
I'm not
will
getting
he feel
Dylan
bad?
Anything. I
nothing.
Overspent for his birthday.
He gets nothing this Christmas.
I'm giving him the Pop-Tarts.
I know you. There's no way in the world you would do that. There's no way.
And then there's a $100 version that has a 6 CD set.
What's wrong with that one?
Because this $500 one includes like 5 45s, and there's a pillbox hat, leopard pillbox hat, which is a Bob Dylan song, and there's a little adapter for the 45 that's leopard. It's just really cool, kitschy, and collectible.
But is it $600 cool and kitschy and collectible?
No.
It isn't. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
I wish I was way overpaid, because then I'd be like, here you go.
Right.
And Bob Dylan will deliver it to you. And it's
Merry Christmas! That was either Bob Dylan or Floyd from the Andy Griffith Show. I'm not sure which.
With a little Tom Petty involved.
Just a little bit of Tom Petty. Terry and I were discussing how when the girls were little, when our daughters were little, we would get them a bunch of Christmas presents, and everything was big, you know, because they were little kids. So whatever we would get them came in big boxes, and you'd look under the tree, and you'd just go, look at how big things are.
It's a behemoth.
But now that they're teenagers, yep, almost out of their teenage years, everything is much more expensive and really small. So it looks like, to the mind's eye, like we've spent nothing on them because everything is the size of this.
Size does not matter in Christmas presents.
I guess in Christmas presents it doesn't. But it's such a strange thing how the older you get, the more expensive and smaller things get.
Yeah, we were talking about this when you were on vacation, Bertrand and I, and these kids today,
with their long hair and they're rocking the roll music. I don't care.
And then Steve went to clutch his man bag, but it had been stolen.
Yep.
So these kids today.
Where is it?
They like gift cards. We're doing a family grab bag and everybody's asking for ideas. See, you're making that face. Mm. But that's what kids want, like iTunes or Guitar Center or Best Buy, because then you never know. See, here's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
When you get duplicates.
Yeah.
And when you have a big family and you do different Christmases with different people,
right,
there's a really good chance you're going to get a duplicate.
Sure. Gift cards make sense, but they just seem impersonal to me. Don't they just seem a little impersonal? You're getting what you want, kind of, but it's like the other person just took a shortcut to get there. I mean, I don't mind when I get them, but to give them, I have a hard time for some reason.
I don't mind it.
No, you're okay.
All right, I'll return your gift card.
Thank you. To Sizzler?
Yes. I found the last open Sizzler.
There's Sizzlers in California.
Really?
Every time we passed one, I said to Kylie, let's go to Sizzler. And she goes, why? What is that?
I'll tell you, it's something about being a kid and the memories, and it does tie into Star Wars, because you think back where you were when you saw it. I hadn't seen it in my teen years. In fact, I had to see all movies before I married Jim. When we were engaged, it was kind of like that diner.
It's in diner they
do
that. Yeah.
Where, what's on the flip side? It's
right.
Like, you know, who is Luke's father? I don't know, Jim. So I had to watch it before we got married. But you go back, you think of the memory, you know, you're a kid, you see Star Wars, you see a Sizzler, and it brings back memories of maybe shopping with your grandma and you'd stop there for lunch.
Right.
Sizzler was not that good.
It's not. It was never good, but it was just...
It's a memory.
Every time we passed two of them, and both times I'm like, can we just quickly go in? And she goes, why?
Can I just smell the
smells? Want Malibu chicken. Can we just get Malibu chicken?
Oh, my God.
I know.
I can make you that.
And
it's chicken breast with ham and Swiss cheese.
I know. And it would be better than Sizzlers, but I don't know what it was. Just something about it. I just stared at the sign and there was a tear in my eye. Sizzler. Because you've heard me joke about this. I'll talk to a friend and I go, let's have lunch. Where do you want to go? And I go, well, why don't we go to Sizzler? I thought Sizzler was
gone 20
years ago.
So did I.
California
doesn't
know.
Do you remember Mr. Steak?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Steak.
They had a Continental Steak, I think it was called, and all it was a hamburger patty.
Yeah.
It was almost as big as your plate, and it was hollowed out, and they put like a Swiss cheese mushroom sauce in there. So it was almost like a hamburger chicken Kiev, because you'd slice into it, and it would squirt you in the eye with the hot juices.
Which is rude.
I know, but the memories.
Yep, that makes up for it. All right, a break, some news, then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder live from the Allstate Showcase studio, and we're going to get serious for a moment. We have Tim Ryan in the studio, a man in recovery, and you can go to his website. I'm going to get this out here a million times because we're hoping to help people today. It's amirf.org, a man in recovery foundation.org. Tim Ryan has, we were just talking to him off the air. Tim, you have led quite a life. I will tell you this.
Yeah, I definitely have. And, you know, it's It's crazy, you know.
I just want to start at the very beginning for people who may not have heard you on our earlier visits on this show. You were a heroin addict.
I struggled with substance abuse for 28 years. The last 12 years, I was a full-blown heroin addict.
And because of that, in some weird, indirect way, your son is no longer with us.
Nope, my son. I ended up going to prison for overdosing on heroin, hitting a few cars, almost killing four people. By the grace of God, they're okay. Did 13 and a half months, got out, plugged into recovery, and then on my 21-month sobriety date, my 20-year-old son, Nick, succumbed to a heroin overdose.
Heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. And he had a best friend named Adam who was pretty successful in the recovery program.
Yeah. When Nick passed away, Adam was he's my son's best friend since 12 years old. We helped raise him. He lived at our house half the time. He was in a sober home. He ended up moving in with me and my son Tanner. Really plugged into recovery, spent 10 months at my house. We shipped him down to Florida, him and his wonderful girlfriend Liz, to work for Banyan Treatment Center as behavioral health techs. I can't tell you how many people Adam helped there. We opened Banyan Treatment Center of Chicago in downtown Naperville, and Adam and Liz came back to be our administrative coordinators. And unfortunately, last Thursday, a week ago today, Adam took his will back and succumbed to a heroin overdose.
How long had he been off of heroin?
17 and a half months.
And how old was he?
23 years old.
23.
So now I'm reliving this again. Adam was like a son to me. He was one of my best friends. He helped guide and direct me through the loss of Nick. And disease of addiction is cunning, baffling, powerful. And I didn't see this coming. I was in shock when Lissed, and they lived right across the street. I went home for lunch, and we got the call to get over there with Narcan, which reverses the effects of a heroin overdose. And Brad, myself, and Suzette ran over there, administered CPR, started hitting him with Narcan. But unfortunately, he had already passed on due to a heroin overdose. What I'm finding out, though, is about a month prior, Liz had caught him huffing.
What does that mean?
An inhalant duster to clean your computers with. If you inhale it, you can get high.
From the aerosol
cans, yes. Some people use paint, whatever. And he was so full of shame, guilt, remorse, told Liz not to say anything. And that's the same thing I did with my wife, Shannon. You know, Shannon kept this deep secret. I don't blame anyone, but Adam kept putting on the mask. Everything's fine, but he had been spiritually broken. All he had to do was put up his hand and say, hey, you know what? I had a slip up. You know, we would have loved him, surrounded him, picked the pieces back up. But for whatever reason, he went deeper in depression and maybe
turned to heroin to overcome that guilt that he felt.
I'll never know. Absolutely, or he thought it was a good idea, possible suicide. I'll never know, but all I know is I walked in and found my best friend laying dead from a heroin overdose.
You mentioned Brad. Brad Gerke is in the studio. Brad, you are how old?
I'm 31.
And you have been a recovering addict. Is that what the proper term is?
Sure.
For how long?
For a little over 5 years now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You now work with Tim, a man in recovery foundation. You work with him. What is it, just day to day? Is that how you have to do it? You'd think that Adam, after 17 months, was on the path. You are now at 5 years. Are you ever scared of having a slip up?
No, I mean, that's why I work a 12-step program, to be able to relieve that obsession that centers in my mind that tells me it's okay to drink or drug. You know, somehow, some way, someday, my mind with untreated alcoholism or drug addiction will tell me that it's okay to do this. That's why I've engaged with doing service work, linking up with him, with the man in recovery. Those are the things that help keep me sober. And then, of course, a relationship with God.
What's your backstory, Brad? What happened? Why did you turn to this originally?
To the addiction part?
Yeah.
Ever since I was a kid. I mean, I always saw older kids on the block drinking and doing other things, and it made me pretty curious.
Right.
So ever since I can remember, I wanted to pick up drugs and alcohol. I don't know why, but I just did.
But why is it for some people, there's plenty of people out there that can have a drink and then move on, or use some recreational drug and move on, and for some people there's just never enough. What's the difference, do you think?
Sure. My dad, he's a non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
He has a beer at a family party. He's able to drink that beer.
Yeah.
Maybe later on throughout the party, he might look at, you know, pumpkin spice rum this time of year.
Yeah.
And decide to have that. Halfway through, he starts getting this out of control feeling, tipsy feeling, nauseous, tired, and he'll actually dump it out. I still look at him today like that's alcohol abuse. You know, at least finish a second beer, man, you know?
And it goes back to the, you know, the genes. You know, this is a disease, and some people it is. It's not the chicken before the egg.
Yep.
You know what? For me to put this disease in remission, I live recovery. I work with the sponsor. I get out of myself, and I help other people. And unfortunately, in Adam's circumstance, you know, this shows me how real this is. And don't put me or Brad or anyone ever on a pedestal, because I am one drink or one drug away. I can guarantee it today I'm not going to use, and that's all that matters. That's all I have is today. So if I'm in fit spiritual condition, I went to a meeting last night. We run our support group tonight. It's about getting out and helping other people and seeing that pain, but then seeing the hope. There was a message one of the mothers posted on my Facebook feed saying, the last time I was on your radio show, she called me, and I had her son on a plane down to Banyan Treatment Center in Florida within 24 hours. He was living in a tent.
We read that on the air because it was pretty amazing. I know there are a lot of people just staring at the radio right now, not knowing what to do, because perhaps some of this rings true to a family member or a child, and they don't know where to start. You know, I know my family member has issues. Where do I begin? And the first call would be to you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I do two different things. My full-time pain job, I work for Banyan Treatment Center, but I don't just send people there. With Manna Recovery Foundation, we work with families that have no insurance, state insurance, good insurance. We guide and direct. We run support groups Monday through Friday from Princeton, Illinois, Dixon, Illinois, Streeter, Crystal Lake, Lombard, Naperville, Sycamore, where we have the families come with the addicts. But it's a matter of reaching out and asking for help. And a lot of people just don't know where to go. And there's some great places, whether it's you know, outpatient or partial hospitalization at Linden Oaks in Naperville or Banyan Treatment Center or Gateway Foundation. They have 8 locations all over. Abraxas Intervention. We just went and toured the Salvation Army's program in downtown Chicago in Humboldt Park. It's absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful, beautiful facility. So we're the ones that will guide and direct and connect you into the right places.
Here's a very quick question from a listener right now, and I think this is very important, from 815. Tim, please tell me how to get my 30-year-old son in recovery. He doesn't live with me. He has been on heroin for 8 years, and I'm afraid he's on his way to an OD. How can someone get someone else into treatment? How can that happen? An intervention? Or
well, we could do an intervention, and I had a mother call me about her daughter in Florida. I said, I need to talk with your son. Have your son reach out to me. Give me his phone number.
What if he won't call?
You know what? Then, unfortunately, we can try to meet with him. I can't rescue anyone. But when I can sit down, or Brad or one of our team members, and we can share our experience, strength, and hope, they start hitting the similarities. And then we go in and, you know, 9 out of 10 times I can convince someone to go get the help. But people also need to understand, treatment is just the beginning. That's not, you know, that's getting the drugs out and giving
you some... It's not a cure-all.
God, no. You've got to get into some type of recovery program, whether it's a faith-based, it's a 12-step, seeing a therapist 3 times a week. But you need to change every aspect of your life or you're dead in the water. My recovery comes before everything in my life.
Let's pick this up in just a little bit. Tim Ryan is here. Brad is here. If you have any questions or comments about anything you've heard thus far, 312-981-7200. And we will pick this up right after this break. It's Bill F. and Wendy Schneider on WGN.
And we are talking about heroin. And we have Tim Ryan in the studio. It works for Banyan Treatment Centers. He also has a Man in Recovery Foundation. You can go to amirf.org. That stands for A Man in Recovery Foundation.org. You can also call 844-611-HOPE. And Brad Gerke is in the studio. You work with Tim?
Yeah.
Okay. And you have been recovering for 5 years now.
Correct.
I have to read a text here because I like controversy.
All right, go on.
So this is 414 saying, I don't expect this text message to make it to the air, but I will send it anyway, just as food for thought. I really resent the idea of accepting that alcoholism or drug addiction is a disease. It's politically correct to call it that these days, but if that's true, I ask you this. If someone who has cancer or ALS or diabetes could be cured simply by changing a behavior, they would do it. But of course, that's not possible because they have an actual medical disease. It's an insult to people who are truly suffering with medical diseases. They can't change their behavior and make the medical problems go away. A lot of people have this feeling.
I feel that way, to be honest with you. I don't look at it as a disease. I look at it as an addiction, but there's a separation between the two. What's the difference?
Well, first off, people think, well, you should just have the willpower to quit. You know, and the sad fact is you get the 74-year-old grandmother who goes to the hospital and has lung cancer. And she got lung cancer from starting to smoke at 15 years old.
Yeah.
She knew it was going to give her lung cancer. And what do? We treat her and we try to save her life. Everyone has this misconception about the disease of addiction. I mean, the American Medical Association calls it a disease. We just don't know enough about the brain. There is no magic bullet. Here, take a pill. You won't drink anymore. It's an obsession and compulsion of the mind. It's with heroin. There's maintenance programs. Suboxone and methadone or Vivitrol, great. Those will take away, Suboxone and methadone will take away the cravings. But if you don't work on your thinking, nothing's going to change. Vivitrol, which is a great new tool out there, will take away the cravings, but it's not an opiate-based product. You get someone into living a life for recovery, you know, it's a chicken or the egg. It is what it is. People are going to say things. Brad, what's your take on it?
You know, 1952, it was declared a disease. And the way that I see it is it's a twofold disease. It's an obsession of the mind, which simply by definition is an overpowering thought, which overpowers any other thought.
Yeah.
Like maybe, you know what, I shouldn't do this because I might get a DUI. I might lose the girlfriend. I might lose the house. I might lose the car. All of a sudden, that thought kind of comes into my mind and it tells me, you know what, I'll stay in a hotel so that way I'm not driving. That way I can't lose the house. The family won't know that I'm drinking and drugging. And I believe that lie that I tell myself. Once I believe the lie, I go ahead and take the action. Willpower at that point flies right out the window. Because I now believe that I'm going to be able to control and enjoy my drinking, which would be great if I could do that. I also have the second part of the disease, which is an allergy. Wendy, are you allergic to anything?
I am not, but I know where you're going with this, and I go ahead. This is fascinating to me.
Cool. Yeah, for myself, I'm allergic to shellfish.
Yeah.
Okay. If I eat shellfish, some things are going to start going on with inside my body. My throat's going to close up, and I'm going to start to get hives. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I cannot control that with my mind. Mentally, I can't tell myself, okay, I'm going to have these hives go away and I'm going to have my throat not swell up. You know what I'm saying? So with that, the allergy that an alcoholic or drug addict feels is not something that I can see physically on my skin or my throat swelling. It's only something that I can feel. And it's this phenomenon of craving, which desires more of the same. So like I was saying, my dad, he has those two drinks and he doesn't like the way that he feels. Me, my body starts to get this physical craving that's beyond my mental control. So with shellfish, I simply just say, I'm not going to eat it. Okay, cool. It's going to kill me.
Right.
But going back to the main problem of the alcoholic or drug addict, the disease that centers in the mind that tells me that it's going to be okay to do this. So I take that action, and because I'm the lie that I sold myself, and then my body reacts, and I go further down the spiral.
And let's pull it back into opiates. Wendy, if I took you and Bill and 10 of your friends, locked you in a room for a week, and had you smoke pot and drink booze every day, you'd get laughing, you'd throw up, you'd eat food. At the end of the week, one of you might have an addiction issue. But if I locked 10 of us in a room and gave us opiates for a week, every one of us will be a full-blown opiate
Amen.
Addict. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
I don't glorify opiates, but the first time I tried them, I was hooked. A lot of these kids today are getting hooked from the prescription pain pills first and
That's
foremost.
What my doctor has said. It's not, you know, parents don't lock up your liquor cabinet.
Lock up your pain pills.
Yeah.
You know, Parents Matter and Kids Matter in Naperville has a big program kicking off on don't be an accidental drug dealer. Most of the 55% of the kids that get hooked on pain pills get them from a family member. 28% get them from a friend. 14% get them from a doctor. 4.4% buy them from a drug dealer. You know, so blame, stigma, whatever. It is what it is, but we got to be part of the solution out there. And that's what we're doing. You know, with the Man in Recovery Foundation, we've got, Jason and Mike up in McHenry County working with us. We have Chris, who runs the other side, a sober club and bar up in Crystal Lake. We've got people all over. We've got Brad. We've got Kyle, the kid who's out sick. But we're also doing some other programs. We're starting a new program called The Cop, the Kid, and the Convict.
Can I ask a favor?
Yeah.
Because we have to go to break for news.
Are you guys okay?
No breaks?
No breaks.
Breaks are aside today. Can you guys stick for a little bit? We also have, in addition to that, we've got a ton of people that want to talk to us.
Sure, we're here.
If you're on hold, stay on hold, and we will get to you right after the news. We'll get to as many of your calls as we possibly can. Tim Ryan is here. Brad is here to take your calls, get your comments in at 312-981-7200. We'll break for the news and then more discussion. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. A very serious episode of the Bill and Wendy Show today because with the holidays coming up, we were worried that maybe someone who is on the cusp of using heroin and had given it up might turn the corner for the holidays. Holidays can be very depressing. Tim Ryan in the studio with us, a man in Recovery Foundation, and Brad Gerke, recovering heroin, alcohol.
He was a garbage addiction. Can.
Yeah, garbage can.
And you've been recovering, you've been clean, do I say that, for 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were talking before the news about diseases, and some people think that, you know, using drugs, you can, it's not like cancer or Alzheimer's, you can control that. But I think that falls under the blanket of depression as well. When someone is depressed, there are a lot of people that just say, oh, buck up, little Wrangler. It's not a bad day, but it goes beyond having a bad day, and it's the makeup of the chemicals in your brain.
Bingo. Bingo. And that text you're reading earlier, who cares if it's a disease or not? But this is a disease or an issue or a substance misuse disorder, whatever you want to call it, that I can put into remission by changing every aspect of my life and living a life of recovery. Stop blaming, stop making excuses. And depression is a huge factor, but it goes untreated. I think Adam was depressed. He didn't put his hand up. My fiance, you know, she was in a situation due to postpartum depression where she almost took her life. I've got her in treatment now and getting her medicated. People get into recovery and they'll use whatever recovery program for everything. That's a roadmap to stay clean and sober and give you tools to live life. It's okay to have depression or panic disorders, but you need to see the right doctor and therapist and psychiatrist and speak your truths. People are not putting up their hands and saying, I'm struggling, I need help. We need better communication, but darn it, we need a lot more resources. And it's unfortunate. When we get money donated to our foundation, a substantial amount comes from deaths. You know, people say they want to do so much. Man, put some money in. Go to our website, donate some money. We can't self-fund this. Thank God the city of Naperville just allocated a $21,000 grant to our foundation to help the people struggling. The city of Naperville, where I live, 2016, we're going to start a drug turn-in program where heroin addicts can walk into the police station, turn in their drugs, and we'll partner and get them into treatment, whether they have no insurance, state insurance, good insurance. We can't arrest our way out of this problem. It's also the education, too. You know, we have a program with Officer Rich Wisnacki, myself, and Kyle the Kid called The Cop, the Kid, and the Convict. We go into high schools. Kyle and I will speak in the schools in the day, and then we talk to the parents at night from law enforcement's perspective, from my perspective as an addict but having a son as an addict, and from Kyle, who's a 19-year-old kid, been to treatment 6 times, had a year sober 2 days ago, and has a wonderful life. But these are the things we need to do and educate. You know, we run all these support groups. Our group at in Naperville tonight will have 100-plus people, probably 70 parents, 30 addicts. But it's educating. All the information is on our website, amirf.org, about our groups. If you're struggling, you know, pick up the phone, 844-4-BANYAN, B-A-N-Y-A-N. And if not, we'll connect you to the right treatment center based on what you're struggling with.
Every time you've been up here, there is a desperate parent who calls in, and I hope that those people are listening, and I hope that they take action again today.
Absolutely. The past 2 times I've been on your show, 85 people we've helped assist into treatment.
That's fantastic.
From you
too. Well,
no.
From you.
From you letting us use these airwaves, people reached out, and that's what it's about. We're here to take... The one thing, I don't want to bother you. You're not bothering me.
This is what you do.
This is what we do. Pick up the phone and call. Send us an email. We're here to help.
All right, Diane has called us, 312-981-7200, and we're talking with Tim Ryan and Brad Gerke, a man in recoveryfoundation.org. Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
We're okay. What you need some advice, don't you? Diane? Oh, no, did we lose Diane? Hi, Diane. Try and get Diane back on the phone.
Right.
She has called in, and let's talk on the other side of it right now. Kate, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you. I love your show, Bill and Wendy. I listen to you every single day.
Thank you, Kate. I appreciate it.
You can.
I'm sorry.
No, you can relate to this conversation?
Yes, I'm 10 and a half years sober from a 20-year
Amen. Good job.
Thank you. To addiction and a 20-year addiction to Vicodin, which, you know, it's legal, and I could take pain pills, and, you know, I was a suburban housewife that would pop these pills when I, you know, needed it for back pain, which, of course, was, you know, made up. But I have to tell you that addiction has a long arm, and I don't feel that I could ever say, just for me personally, oh, I'll never take a drink again or never pop a pill. But here's the clincher, and you guys were just talking about it. I was undiagnosed bipolar and ADHD all my life until 7 years ago. And I can honestly say I know that was a driving force. I was so depressed. And my mind was going a million miles an hour, and I know that I took these substances to help calm the demons, to help, you know, keep them calm. I had a lot of head patting from people before that, you know, buck it up.
Hey, Kate, can I just ask you a question? Because you found out adult ADHD, a lot of times parents find that out when their kids are diagnosed. My kids have been medicated since second grade, and I am hoping that maybe since they have been medicated and they are, maybe they won't turn to self-medicating in other ways.
I can't answer that, only because every individual is, I hope so. Oh, God, yes. I don't know what to say to that, only because I mean, it certainly couldn't hurt, right? Because, hey, you might nip that in the bud, so to speak, so you can help them. They can help handle those brains that trick us and deceive us into thinking substance abuse is the way to go. I know for me, it was an itch that I had to tickle, that tickle that I had to scratch in the brain. And my parents didn't believe, you know, I was born in 65, so, you know, if you acted up in class, it was, you know, knock it off, you're going to get grounded.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
my name was on the quiet chair because I had to sit in there all the time.
Well,
take
me, you know, I was ADD, dyslexic, I was in all the slow classes, I got an 11 on my ACT, when I found alcohol and drugs, I was self-medicating, and a lot of people struggling with bipolar, all these other ADD, depression, they're self-medicating, but they need to give themselves the time to get on the right meds, and that's okay. But unfortunately, there's a ton of the population that has no insurance or state insurance.
How do they afford it?
It's difficult. You know, on the way here, I was contacted by Congressman Bill Foster's office inviting me to be his guest to fly to Washington, D.C. with him on January 12th, meet the President of the United States, speak at the State of the Union about the heroin epidemic. You know, the President will be speaking, but, you know, these are gifts that I'm given today to get this platform. These people need to know. We need more help. We need more resources. There's just not enough out there.
Kate, good luck to you. Have a Merry Christmas, and hopefully you continue to take it day by day. Let's get Diane back on the line. We lost you, Diane. Do you need some advice, some hope, some help?
Yes. I'll go real quick. I have a 48-year-old son that lives with me, and he's gone to AA. He went to the doctor. Doctor gave him medication, and he just keeps on drinking.
So, some advice, Tim.
Well,
going
to a 12, so your son might need to go inpatient treatment first to actually get the alcohol out of him and give him some coping skills and life skills first. And anyone can go to a 12-step program, But he has to put forth the work. He has to get a sponsor. He has to work the steps. Oh, these meetings don't work for me. Well, that's because you're not taking any of the suggestions.
Exactly.
You know, so he has to put forth the effort. And if not, you know, he's a grown adult. You can ask him, you know, as I told my son, Nick, if you want to do drugs and drink, you're more than welcome to, but go get your own apartment, pay your own bills, and destroy your life. I can't stop you, but you're not going to do it under my roof, under my rules.
And Diane, I only know how I would feel. You, I bet, don't feel like, how can I close the door on my son?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Well, so what do we do, well, Tim, what if happens, we're ever in that position?
Well, the enabling has to stop, and the parents need to get into a support group, whether it's Al-Anon, Nar-Anon, Families Anonymous, my opiate recovery groups, where family members come, because this disease doesn't just destroy the addict, it destroys everyone in their circle, friends, loved ones, families, other siblings, and a lot of parents or loved ones don't realize how bad they're enabling this to go on. When my son could, you know, go to his other family members, disappear for 2 days, come back, eat, sleep, disappear, steal a car, come back. Well, I wouldn't change either if I'm a drug addict or an alcoholic. I have no reason to. There's no repercussions. A homeless shelter is a good place to sober you up.
So does Diane call 844-611-HOPE and get some more ideas?
100%. Absolutely. What town are you in, Diane?
Sorry, could I have that, put that phone number again? 844-what?
611-HOPE. And what town are you calling from?
Chicago.
Okay.
Be glad to help you. 100%.
Give Tim a call, Diane, and best of luck to you.
Let's take a quick break. Tim Ryan is here, 312-981-7200. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Bill and Wendy, a guy that gives back all the time. His name is Tim Ryan. He is a man in recovery. You can go to his website, amirf.org. That stands for A Man in Recovery Foundation.org. Also, a phone number. Jot this down, because we're only going to be able to get to one more question. 844-611-HOPE. Tim, you've brought Brad Gerke with you as well, and you guys work together, and we have a phone call from Rhonda that you guys should take. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, Wendy. Thanks for taking my call. And, Tim, it's so nice to talk to you. I've contacted you once before on Facebook, and you were nice enough to get back to me. And then with all of the personal issues you've had going on in the last month, I was afraid to contact you again because you've been so busy.
Don't ever be afraid to contact me. That's so I was just
contacting you now.
Wonderful.
Listen, I have a question. I live in the Rockford, Illinois area. I know your opiate recovery groups have 6 different locations. Unfortunately, none of them are very close to our area. My question to you then, when I contacted you, is the same as it is now. We've got a huge heroin problem in the Rockford area and the surrounding communities, and not many resources available for help outside of NA groups. How can we get your opiate recovery group started here in our area?
Find me a location that has 2 rooms that will hold upwards of 50 people each, and within 2 weeks I'll start a group out there. It's as simple as that.
Okay, and let me ask you this. When we've got many surrounding communities smaller than the Rockford area, smaller than the city of Rockford itself, where would you suggest looking for this location?
You know, I use a lot of churches donate space to us, and those are the best avenues. But we can talk offline or shoot me a message. But, you know, we started one out in Princeton, Illinois. That's 100 miles out. We go out there every Monday night. We've got Dixon. And then we get people like myself, Brad, Kyle, other individuals coming out and helping us. I've got our crew out in Dixon, Allison and Greg and them running the group out there. So it's just getting the place to do it. And we do it different because I don't care what type of recovery people get into. I focus more on really changing every aspect of your life and stop making the excuses. So reach out to me. And if you do want to hook up with me on Facebook, Tim Ryan Naperville, and I have a closed group in there called A Man in Recovery, has about 4,000 plus people. Send me a message.
Thank you, Rhonda. Good luck to you. We have a couple of texts, 773. Wendy, it's disgusting hearing that you have medicated your kids since such a young age. How horrible. Now, no one should judge anyone else, and when you have your sons evaluated and a doctor and a psychiatrist suggests it, and your kid comes home from school after starting the medication and saying, oh my God, is this how the other kids feel every day? it was a tough decision. And there are people that refuse to medicate their kids. I was one of them. I have changed, and you do what you can, and you do your best to be a good parent. That's all I have to say.
I can tell you, I probably should have been medicated. Today I just won't because I'm afraid of pills. But I look at the people I have seen that had undiagnosed ADD. There's three different levels of ADD, or bipolar.
Or depression or anxiety.
And what the medications do, if they're taken properly, it's a life changer. We don't truly understand the chemical makeup of the brain or the body, and everyone's different. So some people need a few different things. But it's easy to sit here and, oh, you did this. Man, don't judge me.
Don't judge other
people.
Man,
everyone's got skeletons in their closet. Kick rocks with no shoes. That's for Derek Horan. Thanks, brother.
And I have friends in the neighborhood who have tried, you know, holistic approach to ADHD, and then they've come to me years later and said, what medication did you start with? You try what you can, you love your kids, and you do your best. And I, you know, don't judge other people. May I read another one really quickly here, Bill?
Yeah.
Bill and Wendy, I finally believe the best gift I ever gave my 20-year-old who is addicted to pills was to ask her to leave and live in her own home. We now have a beautiful relationship. She's been clean for 3 years. The hardest thing I've ever done, but it's the best thing I've ever done.
Great. Best idea out there. You know, you hate the disease, you love the addict, but sometimes you need to say, you know what, we can't do this. It's destroying other family members. Pack your stuff and leave. And it's just, and if, you know, unfortunately, while I don't want him to die, well, my son died in a beautiful house in Darien, Illinois. If they're going to use, they're going to use either way, but that might be the catalyst to force them down. You can't, well, I don't want him to leave and feed him and shower him, but let him keep doing the same things over and over. If nothing changes, nothing changes.
Thanks, both of you, for being here. I know it's been a very, very rough week for you. I understand that with the loss of Adam. I guess the one thing to get out of this more than anything else is if you feel you need some help, don't be afraid to ask for that help. Or if you recognize it in somebody close to you, go after it. Get the help.
Absolutely. And if you have a friend that's struggling, be a friend. Help them. Yeah. Tell their parents. Reach out. Forget this snitches get stitches stuff. This is life and death. I've been to 69 funerals this year.
Good God.
Adams was number 69. And these are all people I've been working with. This, you know, this is a horrific epidemic that we need help on all the fronts here.
Yeah.
Brad Gerke, good luck to you. Continued success in your recovery.
Thank you. Thank you. It's definitely been an honor to be able to be here.
5 years and continuing day to day.
Yes.
Tim Ryan, always a pleasure. Thank you for helping so many people. And again, if people need help and they don't have insurance and they don't know where to turn and they don't know who to ask to find the answers to their questions, how do they reach you?
They can reach me on our website, www.amirf.org, or they can call 844-611-HOPE. And if you do have insurance, you can call Banyan Treatment Center, 844-4-BANYAN, B-A-N-Y-A-N. We have a facility in downtown Naperville and one in Pompano Beach, Florida.
Thank you very much for all your help.
Thank you.
All right, take care, guys.
Have a blessed holiday.
And you, both of you. A break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We're looking for Dean Richards. If you are Dean Richards, call us right now at 312-981-7200. You may have won a prize.
Looking for Dean in all the wrong places.
He'll tune in. I'm sure we'll get him.
We have to talk to him today. This is a big day.
This is the biggest day in the history of film with the release of the Star Wars movie. Now, we have talked about your husband's love of this movie and of the franchise. What was it like at your house today? Was it Christmas morning over at your house today?
I got to tell you, it's crazy what's going on right now because there is a live podcast going on at Hollywood Boulevard Theaters.
Yeah.
I believe it starts at 6 p.m. tonight.
The first showing is?
No, the podcast
will be 6 to 8. Yeah.
We're seeing the movie at 10.
Yeah.
There is a whole variety show planned.
Why?
I don't really know.
Why is there a variety show planned?
Because it's a live podcast, and we are... I'm trying to talk while I'm getting Dean up here.
All right.
Let me try this. Dean? Because, you know, you want to entertain the masses.
Of course.
there's going to be some performances, including my son Michael doing the Weird Al Yankovic Yoda.
Yeah.
AKA Lola.
So this is in the lobby of the theater?
Oh, yeah. This is going to be very exciting. I am singing a Christmas Tauntaun song.
Right.
Dylan is playing a piano, a little keyboard, and he's going to do some Star Wars music. And then Jim's brother, Bill McInerney, also known as Shag, is going to be playing electric versions of the John Williams classical music tunes.
Oh.
And then there's a podcast going on, and then we're going to have a good burger because they have good burgers there at Hollywood Boulevard. And then we're going to watch the show at 10 o'clock. You're going to see it before me, aren't you?
Yeah. I have an earlier appointment. What is in? I don't understand this aspect of it. They showed people in line days ago to see the movie, like 3 or 4 days ago. So
I don't
really
understand.
So you can get tickets online. I bought tickets weeks ago. I didn't stand in any line.
They want to sit in their preferred seating because it's not like you buy a seat like you would, you know, at a Hawks game.
No, I understand that, but
and they're giving away a free Apple iPhone. iPhone 7.
Why would anyone, and believe me, it's not lost on me. I understand people have waited for this movie for a long, long time. I'm one of them, but I wouldn't stand in a line for 6 or 7 or 8 days to get tickets that you could just get online really easily. I don't understand that.
I wouldn't stand in line for anything.
Anything.
Really wouldn't. Well, I mean, really, you know, Michael Jordan, the shoe store opened here. People were in line for like 3 days.
When you can get it, you can go in the next day and get it, right?
Well, I just think that people are waiting in line because they have nothing else to do because they can't go on the internet because people will spoil it.
No, that's why I'm seeing it today, is because I know that there's some secrets that'll be divulged at some point in the film. But I didn't get in line, you know, last Monday to see the movie. I went and picked up tickets at the box office. But I don't want to characterize all Star Wars fans as people who don't have lives. I know that many of them do. But they showed these guys who have been in line for all these days, and they're you know, they've been sitting in lawn chairs and they've made up these rules. It's like Lord of the Flies, where they go, well, you know, if you have to go to the bathroom, we'll let you out of the line. But that's the only excuse. You can't go anywhere else. You got to stay in the line.
It's called passion. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I guess.
Dean has blown us off because he is seeing the movie again.
He went to see it a second time.
Might be his third time. I know he's out and about today, Kevin. He is covering all the various events. But he is, I have his little, what does this little button say? It says Dean TV.
That's right.
It's press like that. Me TV, but it's Dean but TV. It's all Dean Richards. All the time.
What they've done is they've superimposed Dean into some of our favorite television shows from days gone by. See, I Dream of Deanie. You got to see that because he takes on the Barbara Eden role beautifully.
And Dean Witched is amazing.
Oh, is he good in that? He plays both Darrens. Who would have thought he had that in him?
Let's take a quick break, and then I think we'll come back and
find Dean Richards. All right.
Dean. The Jumping Bean, where is he?
He's around. We'll get him. Stick around. We'll find out what Dean thought of Star Wars, we think. If not, we'll project what we might think of Star Wars later on. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make
He doesn't know which buttons to press.
Ah.
I think we found him. Dean.
I'm here.
Hi, Dean.
I'm here.
Dean, is there anything going on in the world of cinema you would like to discuss?
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope. Not a thing.
Now, this is going to be the trickiest review of all time, and you've already talked about this, because you have to review a film without giving away any aspect of the film.
Which he said he worked one of the hardest reviews he's ever done.
That's
because,
right.
You know, I told my husband, Dean says, I don't want to hear it. That's what I got.
Yeah,
so
I know. Some people don't want to hear anything. Well, I mean, I got to say something about the new Star Wars movie. I'm not going to give away any important plot details.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually been pretty shocked at critics who have given away pretty specific details.
Yeah.
I mean, not even some of the jaw-dropping things that happen.
There are jaw-dropping things?
There are jaw-dropping things that happen in this movie. But, I mean, when I went into it, I didn't want to know anything.
Right.
I didn't want to know, you know, the basic relationships and who's who. And I wanted all that to, you know, come upon me while I watch the movie. So I will simply say this. Star Wars is a musical? What? What?
I can't wait to see the cantina scene in musical form.
That Buzz Lehrman knows his stuff, doesn't he, Dean?
I did not know Ruth Buzzy could sing as well as she does, it turns out.
You just sold more tickets.
Who thought it could sell out more than it was already?
All right, Dean, explain this before anything else. There's many people, myself included, who really enjoyed the first three and really didn't enjoy the last three.
You're gonna love this movie.
We're back to the good days.
Back to good days. Then this movie. Here's the genius of what director J.J. Abrams did. He gives you a fantastic original story for this film, but brilliantly weaves in honoring and paying homage to the first three movies, particularly the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not only with some of the veteran actors, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, who are quite good in this movie. You know, a lot of times when you bring back, actors, and they're there just, they're just there. They don't really add very much to the movie. All three of these characters add quite a bit to this film. So,
and that's not a spoiler alert, because even though Mark Hamill's name was not, on the poster, we all kind of knew that it was coming.
Yeah, in some way, shape, or form. They've been at every press conference,
red carpet,
every public event, every public event. So that's not a spoiler that those three are back in it again. It's not a spoiler that Chewbacca's there, and
my favorite
C-3PO and R2-D2. So I mean, they're
is Carrie Fisher's dog Gary in this film?
I didn't see Gary the dog in this. So there are these very nostalgic elements that are part of this film, but all integral parts of this original story that I think works brilliantly. It's so exciting, but I also have to say, I was blown away by all the new actors, the primary new actors who are in this film. There's an actress by the name of Daisy Ripley.
Ridley, yeah.
who plays...
believe it or not.
Very, very key part of this whole thing, and she's great. John Boyega, very key part of
this
film.
Nice mole.
And Oscar Isaac. Oscar, my baloney, has a first name, Isaac. all really great in this film. And this is all that I'm going to say about the plot. And believe me, this is not a spoiler in any way. And in the most general sense, what J.J. Abrams has also done is he understood what made the first three Star Wars movies so
good.
Action, adventure, imagination.
And fun.
Excitement, fun. And
epic.
And funny also.
Good.
And epic. All those things, he just makes you feel like, when you come out of this, you feel like you just had the best time at a movie. And it's the age-old struggle of good versus evil in this movie. The bad guy in this film is played by an actor named Adam Driver. This has also been out forever, not a spoiler. He's on the television show Girls. He plays one of the evil people in this movie. By the name of Kylo Ren. So good versus evil, nonstop excitement, visually beautiful.
Is that the one with the cross
lightsaber
that we were talking about yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some new technology. You've seen this new droid. That's, he's like...
Wilson the volleyball?
A little bit. It's like two volleyballs on top of each other.
Oh.
That's also a primary
character.
If these volleyballs are bouncing, I don't know how to rhyme
The Force
that.
Will be with you.
Yes,
Star Wars fans don't get this.
And I don't want to... Again, this is... we're not giving anything away, but the scenes where Tyler Perry plays Lando Calrissian's grandmother, those are pretty good scenes too, right?
Look... I said I wasn't going to give away any spoilers.
All right, sorry. So overall, Dean...
From the planet Medea?
Yes, from the planet Medea. Yeah. She's feisty. What do you give this?
I gave it an A+.
A+.
How about that?
Unabashed A+.
A+.
I had so much fun. This is why you go to movies, to, have... There are moments that are emotional and moments when you're laughing out loud. It's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Visually and... if you grew up with these first three movies, It's so nostalgic. It gives you such a good feeling.
I love hearing this.
I'm seeing little sparkles in Bill Left's eyes.
I'm so happy to hear this because I trust you, Dean. And when you say an A+, I say to myself, this must be a good movie.
Dean was
I can't wait again.
This is what does, but
all right, an A+ for Star Wars.
I saw it in 2D.
Oh, you did?
I did not see it in 3D. I'm going to go see it in 3D this weekend to see if it's worth it.
Right.
I don't know if it will be worth it. I know that they shot this movie in 2D. It wasn't shot in 3D. Wasn't shot in IMAX. So anything that's 3D, anything that's IMAX will have been converted.
Right.
And often when that happens, it's not as satisfying when it was shot in 3D, when it was shot for IMAX, like James Cameron did for Avatar.
Right.
That's mind-blowing 3D. So I was perfectly satisfied with the 2D. So make your own judgments on
that. A lot of texts and questions that I've seen shot our way is, do you have to see the other movies to appreciate this?
I don't think so. I think that's one of the things that I like about this, that it's kind of a rule for me. Anytime there's a new movie in a franchise, it has to stand on its own. To me, a movie's not successful if you have to have known everything else that's happened in the franchise. This one, you can see this movie. If you've never seen any Star Wars movie before, you'll get this perfectly. But if you've got the history, and again, especially with the first three movies, it'll mean so much more to you. It'll be so much more emotional. But you won't be sitting there going, I'm completely lost. I don't understand anything that's going on.
Right.
But there are little homages, little things that you'll notice that are like, oh, yeah, that's a little tribute to this, and oh, that's a little tribute to that. So, no, you do not have to have seen the other movies at all.
Excellent. We're so pleased to hear your good review on this movie.
Dino, we're home.
Well, yes, exactly. You made Dean cry,
warm.
Wendy.
I feel warm just
you made
hearing
Dean cry.
That.
Change your pants, then.
What
That's
about...
Right. Again?
What about the sisters?
That's all I've been doing for the last 3 days since I've been seeing this movie. How many boxes of Depends am I going to go through as a film critic?
What about Sisters?
Oh, who cares? Oh, we're all talking Star Wars.
Oh, the kids love Sisters.
There's a handful of people here in the office could care less about Star Wars, believe it or not.
Yeah, I do.
And they are...
Hoover's lying.
They are going... I can't wait to go see Sisters, the new Tina Fey, Amy Poehler movie. And good news for them, too. You've also got a great movie to go see this weekend. Amy Poehler, Tina Fey play sisters. Their parents have sold the childhood home that they grew up in, and they want to throw one last bash, one last party in that house. And this movie is just hilarious.
Oh, good.
It's really funny. A little raunchier than we normally see Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
They're always raunchy.
I don't remember them being this raunchy.
I'm in.
Yeah, so... So you've got that. You've got Maya Rudolph in this, who's very funny. You've got Bobby Moynihan, who is hilarious.
Oh, good.
In this movie. I laughed all the way throughout. Gave it a B+. I mean, it seems like nothing compared to an A+.
Right.
With Star Wars, but it's also a very, very funny movie. So
and I'm sure that Tina Fey, for sure, maybe Amy Poehler are going to go see the Star Wars movie too. They are. Tina Fey's a Star Wars fan.
Right, I know.
Tina Fey's been doing all of her, appearances and interviews promoting her movie, saying, if you can't get a ticket to Star Wars, come and see our movie.
The Spillover.
You do what you can with that. There's also a new Alvin and the Chipmunk movie that's opening this weekend. I haven't seen it. I hear it's terrible. But, if it's you want to take your kids to go see something. By the way, I think Star Wars 10 and above, I think, would be perfectly okay. I don't think... I don't think you can keep the little kids away from Star Wars this week or have any fear of taking kids to see it. It's PG-13, but my little nieces and nephews are like 8 and 10.
Right.
And I wouldn't have any problem at all with them seeing this movie.
And they say, I remember Lucas himself saying that they count on kids seeing this movie 3 or 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
They've got that in their marketing strategy.
And
your husband will see it at least that many times.
There's some pretty big kids who are going to go see it
right.
3 and 4 and 30 times.
Well, Dean, what a great weekend.
Mom's basements are going to be empty all over America this weekend. Mom is not going to know where to bring those chicken McNuggets. McNuggets this weekend and grilled cheese sandwiches.
That's so funny. Well, Dean, thank you.
We can laugh, but, you know, we're... Phil, you're a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, huge.
You don't live in your mom's basement anymore.
No, she kicked
your wife's
me out.
Basement.
Right. But,
they know. Say the sale of Pine Sol is going to go up because moms are going to go to the store.
That's a good chance. Good chance to finally clean up down there a little bit.
Dean, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to it.
All right, see you guys.
All right, take
care. May the force be with you.
It's Dean Richards, everybody. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has on the Wintrust Business Lunch in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's part two of our show. It's Bill and Wendy. Call us or text us at 312-981-7200.
I don't know if I was being made fun of or if I was getting just a nod.
Who made fun of you?
Maybe, potentially. Walking in, well, you're a guy, so I will ask you and Kevin.
All right.
There were two guys on Michigan Avenue, youngish, I'd say in their 30s.
Yeah.
Dressed
yeah, you're
nicely.
Definitely getting made fun of
you.
Will
so,
you
Kevin?
Let me finish? God. They were dressed in suits.
Were they businessmen?
They looked like businessmen.
All right.
Businessmen.
I've seen businessmen.
And as they walked by, I heard them say, oh, she's got her Star Wars shirt on today. Now, I don't know if that
Why
was
would
a
you
slam?
Perceive that as being made fun of? They were just pointing out the obvious. You are wearing a Star Wars shirt.
Which I never wear, can I just say?
Right. Well, today would be the day.
I guess. Jim bought it for me. I said, what are you getting me this for? And it came in handy.
Yes. But they weren't making fun of you.
How do you know? It sounded like
they were businessmen.
Businessmen don't make fun of people.
They can't just say bottom line and third quarter expenditures all the time. They have to say other things.
Well, I don't know if I was being made fun of.
They were just jealous because they had to wear a suit and you could wear a Star Wars
shirt. I bet that's it, Kim. I bet Kim knows it. That's exactly right.
Thank you, Kim. That was the answer I was fishing for from either of these two guys.
No, I don't think they were making fun at all.
Kim Gordon with the save.
Yep.
To block.
I still think they were maybe making fun a little bit.
Possibly. Maybe a little
whatever.
Bit. I want to tell you something from last night, but I want to preface this by saying that everything I'm about to tell you does not mean all of a sudden I'm a fan of Donald Trump's.
Uh-oh.
Right? He was on last night. You know, I do a thing now because I enjoy all the 10:30 talk show hosts. I like Jimmy Fallon a lot. I like Jimmy Kimmel a lot.
They're
I like Stephen Colbert a lot. And then you also have Larry Wilmore. They're all good.
Who?
Larry Wilmore on Comedy Central.
Who's that?
He's the one that took Stephen Colbert's job.
Whose job did he take?
Stephen Colbert took David Letterman's job.
Whose job did David Letterman take?
Boy, who had that before him? I can't even remember.
The scruffy old man from the Waltons?
I don't think CBS had a talk show back then. I think they just showed old episodes of My Mother, the Car.
With Grandpa Munster.
No, he was in Car 54.
Oh,
Where are
I get
you?
My cars mixed
you get
up.
Your car shows.
There is a really lovely collection of talk show hosts, and it is tough to choose, so I choose not to watch any
you
of them.
You just stay away from all of them.
At that time, it's crunch time.
It's, well, luckily, the way my schedule is, it affords me at the time to watch whatever show. And I have no loyalty to any of them. I used to be Letterman.
Yeah.
But now that he's gone... It just depends on who the guests are that day, kind of. So yesterday was a tough one because Stephen Colbert had Robert De Niro on, and Robert De Niro rarely does talk shows, and I wanted to see that. But Jimmy Kimmel had Donald Trump on, and I thought, this will be interesting. Let's see what happens. So here's what I figured out yesterday. Now, I know that this will sound like I'm somehow endorsing Donald Trump. Trust me, I'm not. He's an incredibly engaging personality.
Charismatic.
He is so charismatic. But the thing is, I don't think he understands the difference between fantasy and reality at all, which just being a guy, just being a human being on the planet is incredibly amusing, but I think it would detract from him potentially being the president of the United States.
Yet no matter what he does, nothing is detracting from that.
I don't understand it. But I watched him. He was the only guest that was on last night. He was on for the full hour. And it was great start to finish because he just, like, he says stuff and he doesn't care if it's real or not. He just says it and goes, well, I said it. It must be real because I just said it.
And he believes it's real.
Every time. But it was, I mean, I'm watching it going, I kind of understand how people are swayed over to his ideas, but he shouldn't be the president. He should be a guy who shows up on talk shows and says silly things.
See, that's what I'm thinking. I don't care. You know, whoever's president, I will support. That's how I roll. Yeah. I'm sorry. There have been presidents in the past that I didn't vote for, but the election was over. They won. And it's like, okay, we're all in this together.
That's admirable.
Well, most people should be like that.
I agree with you. I agree.
Thanks, Obama. Right. See what I mean? Like a whole group of people blame him for everything. I broke a nail. Thanks, Obama.
I know.
Damn, Obama.
I know.
But as you watch Donald Trump, and it is refreshing to hear somebody say something so ridiculous and racist that, you know, boy, he's got no filters. Boy, a lot of people think this way. I'm not saying me, but a lot of people do.
Right.
It's refreshing to hear that. But again, not as the guy running this country.
No. He went into this long diatribe yesterday. Jimmy Kimmel asked him about his comments about Muslims and barring them from entering the United States and all like that. And his defense on all that was, and I give him credit because usually the Donald Trump defense is like a fifth grade boy. Yeah, well, you're fat. Yeah, well, you're ugly. Yeah, right. Well, you're stupid. That's his defense to almost everything. And yesterday he was explaining, I believe inaccurately, how all of his friends who are Muslims support his ideas. Not actually, to be fair, he said not all of them right away, but he said now that, you know, some time has passed, they really believe that what he's saying is a good idea, and he's got full support from his Muslim friends. And I was thinking, are you sure? Because I'm almost positive if I were Muslim and you said the things about barring them from the United States, I might be offended by it and maybe disagree with you. But in Donald Trump's head, and it's the beauty of being him, he goes, oh, I'm saying it. It's got to be real. So he was explaining to Jimmy Kimmel and everybody who was watching that his Muslim friends fully support him now, that they also believe we got to keep Muslims out of the country.
What was Kimmel saying?
He was being playful about it. You know, he was being very playful about it and respectful. And Jimmy Kimmel, he pointed this out before he brought Donald Trump on, has not necessarily been a supporter of Donald Trump's run for the presidency, but he likes kind of what I like in him, which is just a guy who just says stuff. And if he's right, fine. And if he's not right, fine. But you shouldn't be that's not the president's mode. That you shouldn't be the president and have that.
No, I know Ronald Reagan was an actor before he was president.
Right.
And I know Arnold Schwarzenegger did a really good job of things.
The people in California are very split on Arnold Schwarzenegger's reign as the governor of that state. There's some people who think that he was a godsend and he did a great job. And there's other people that couldn't wait for him to not be running that state. So they were very mixed on his governorship.
I don't know that I want my president to be a character.
Right. That's exactly the essence of this.
Because it's like, who will take him seriously?
As engaging
Everything all right there, Steve?
As engaging as he was, not just last night, but I don't know if you ever watched The Apprentice. I didn't watch it with any regularity, but I saw half a dozen episodes. But I thought that was like a fun thing for him to be doing, was that
Perfect.
Sort of thing.
Perfect for him.
That's what he should be doing.
Running the country?
No, I don't think so.
And I apologize, Steve. That was not you banging into your microphone. I apologize. What's for lunch today?
I accept your apology. I had to swallow quickly because I thought I was in trouble.
No, you're fine. Don't worry.
No, you didn't.
Don't worry.
But yeah, a character. I just feel like people wouldn't take us seriously as a country. I know we're going to get texts. Oh, like people are taking us seriously now.
Here's what makes me a bit nervous. He's got this kind of defensive reaction to things. You know, if you give him a love tap, he'll swing really hard at you. And that's not something you want in a guy who's got his finger really close to the panic button.
I know.
If you watch the debate when Jeb Bush started to go after him and said, you can't insult your way to the presidency.
Right.
And he said, I'm at 42 and you're at 3.
Right. That's the perfect example.
I know. But if you watch him there, that was the first time where I started to see under him like he was starting to boil.
Yeah.
And it looked like one more little piece of kindling under him would have set him off.
Right.
I've never seen him, you know, he shoots his mouth off and he can bully and be frank and all of that.
Yeah.
But he almost lost it there.
And poor Jeb Bush, too little too late, you know what I mean?
It's the weirdest thing. Before Jeb Bush announced that he was running, everybody on the Republican side said, this is the guy. If this guy decides he wants this, then he's got a path. Where did that go? What happened?
Because when you're up against Donald Trump in debates, you could say the smartest, best thing in the world, and nobody's going to notice because they're so focused on what Trump is doing.
I know.
And it's like, you know, he's the rodeo clown of the debates.
But again, if you look at the guys who have been the president so far, we haven't had that many rodeo clowns. I can think of one. When the last George Bush was president, I was embarrassed every day for 8 years. There wasn't a single day I didn't wake up and go, wait, did that really happen? Did George Bush become president of the United States? Seriously? I think Trump would trump that. I really do.
George Bush the second one.
Yeah.
Seemed like a great guy to hang with. Like, I'd like to run into him at a Texas steakhouse when he was still drinking, and I think it would have been fun.
Probably. But again, the difference between that and being the most important person in the world, and I think the president of the United States is, that's the most influential person in the world. It really is. So should Donald Trump, should the guy that was running The Apprentice and firing Gary Busey a year ago be running the country?
I don't know. That makes me very worried that Tom Bergeron is going to someday.
He'll
is
be
that
the
his
president.
Name, Tom?
Tom Bergeron will be the next president.
Because that's how it goes. He has hosted maybe Ryan Seacrest.
Seacrest.
The millennials will see Ryan Seacrest as a president.
He'll end every press conference with Seacrest out.
I'd vote for him.
You'd vote for Seacrest.
God, he's handsome. Please.
He is not. You really think Ryan Seacrest is handsome?
Sure.
Bill,
do you think Corey Crawford's handsome? I don't want to hear it out of you.
Okay, nice slam to Corey Crawford. I do think Corey Crawford is handsome. Where are your Blackhawk station?
I mean, he's very talented. He's...
Listen, if you want to pull this out, I will. Someone has topless pictures of...
Nicholas Jalmerson. Go ahead.
We're in the office. Bill, were you there that day?
I don't think I saw this.
See, he does this when you're on vacation.
What happened?
He had a bunch of pictures of topless Nicholas Jalmerson on his screen going, he is a good-looking man.
I was trying to sway you, to persuade you that he is handsome.
Don't go on vacation again.
I can't now. I don't know what I'll come back to. All right. Can we take a call or two, or should we take a break? You tell me.
How about a quick break and then some
all
calls?
Right. Yeah, if you're on hold, 312-981-7200, stay there. We will get to you in just a little bit. I'm just trying to figure out, is the Donald Trump I saw on Jimmy Kimmel, is that the guy that should be the president of the United States? You tell us. 312-981-7200. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Donald Trump on with Jimmy Kimmel last night, and he amused you for the full hour?
He really did. I mean, I enjoyed every minute of it. I thought it was a great interview. He was very candid. He was a lot of fun.
When is he not candid, may I ask?
He's always candid. He's always candid. Jimmy Kimmel, there was a joke at the end, but he said that he wrote a children's book about Donald Trump, and it was like a Dr. Seuss-type book, but it had instead of the Cat in the Hat, it was Donald Trump. And it was really funny, and Donald Trump had a good time. I mean, it was a solid, where you go, all right, I get why people like him, but there's no way in the world he should be the president, in my opinion.
All right, Tom, you agree with Bill, don't you?
Oh, my gosh, yes, I do. My mouth was just hanging open. When he talked about that big wall, and then he goes about this big, huge, great door he's going to have.
Yep.
I'm thinking like the Land of Oz, you know. It's like a magical kingdom.
The way you described that, I was automatically thinking the Wizard of Oz, right behind the giant door. I mean, is this real talk?
There's no way in the world.
Is this, or is it just me? Because it's like... He really believes this stuff. It's scary.
But how could a guy with that much business savvy not understand that even if you went through with this ridiculous idea of putting a wall completely separating us from Mexico, first of all, you can't do that. That can't happen. You can't build a wall. But then he says, we'll send the bill to Mexico. Well, Mexico wouldn't pay that bill.
Oh, yes, they will. I'll get it out of them. What, are they going to shake them upside down till pesos fall out of the pockets?
And he talks about rounding up. He's going to go around and round up all the immigrants and put them on a bus and drive them back. You can't do that. That doesn't happen. So
I don't know how Jimmy Kimmel kept a straight face. I don't know.
I know. So you watched it too, Tom. You saw the whole hour?
I did, yes. It was entertaining.
It was.
The guy's a great salesman. He's P.T. Barnum.
Yep.
He is. Who will deny that he is entertaining? No one will deny that. Do you want that kind of guy running the country? I feel like we'll be made a mockery. And there's already text saying we already are because of Obama. Thank you so much, Tom. Happy holidays.
I don't know. It's a whole different kind of situation.
And you can't blame the president of the United States for all the things that are failing, can you? Is that one person responsible? Because maybe if you think of it this way, you know, Trump's a good businessman. Maybe he would remove himself from the situation. He could just get his ego pumped up a little bit by winning and then appoint really smart, bright people to handle all the different areas. Would that work?
You would hope it would work.
I don't know.
But still, and I know for all the blasting that Barack Obama has taken in the past 7 years, there's a lot of things like the unemployment rate, which was abysmal 5 years ago and is really in pretty good shape right now. The stock market, which was abysmal 5 years ago and is in really good shape right now. Gas prices, which were abysmal 5 years ago and are pretty good.
Is that his doing, though? I don't think it is.
Maybe not the gas prices, but the unemployment rate.
Yep.
And he's one of these guys who could leave crippled and be on a mountainside in 50 years.
I think so, too.
So it, just because some of the things he's done have been long term, like, you know, if healthcare works,
yeah,
that's going to be huge.
Right.
Cuba, you know, that's a pretty long lasting thing. Gay marriage is a pretty long lasting thing.
I got two words to say to you, and I'm sure it's going to irritate a lot of people. Bill Clinton.
Well, yeah, I mean,
decent president, morally, maybe not, but a pretty decent president.
I think in our lifetimes, things were at their all time best during Bill Clinton's presidency.
Now, do you think it was really him, or do you think that things ebb and flow and whoever's in the office at the time, like, for instance, the gas right now?
Yeah. Well, there's a series of events that have to happen with the gas prices. So I maybe that one was unfair. But there's plenty of things for all the
I'll
people who
it.
Say. there's plenty of people who, you know, will look at what will end up being 8 years of Barack Obama and say, what a terrible, terrible period that was. But it really wasn't. I mean, things.
It's a terrible period in the United States. I don't think it would have been any different with a different person in office. Do you?
But it's not. That's Bill's point. What's terrible about life in the United States right now? I mean, there are certainly big problems and big issues.
Yeah.
But it's a big country, and there always will be.
Yeah.
The unemployment rate is almost at the level of full employment.
And that, wouldn't you say, Steve, if you look at the factors that determine any era, the unemployment rate is just so important to everything else. I mean, everything stems from whether or not we're working or not. Everything does.
Big part of it. And, you know, the other thing you put on his list would be, you know, he saved the auto industry. The auto industry might have gone under.
With the bailout.
In 2008, 2009. They bought part of, was it Chrysler?
Yeah.
It's not even clear.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sold it later. But, you know, so that's one of those things. So it's a weird thing where, you know, short term, he's leaving his approval rate right now is just a few points, I believe, above where George Bush's was when George Bush left office. But history might be kind to him, too.
I think it will be. I really do.
Somebody just texted, and this is what I'm doing. Bill left for president.
Oh.
But seriously, vote for? That's what they say. I don't know who you should vote for. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. And God forbid it's under a year away.
It's true.
Start thinking.
That's all we can do. Let's do this. We'll take a break. We have plenty more show. If you're on hold and we want to stay on hold, we'd love to have you. 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. If you're just joining us, let me quickly catch you up. Last night on Jimmy Kimmel, his one guest was Donald Trump, was on for almost the whole hour. Jimmy did the monologue and then brought Donald Trump in. And I was saying that as I was watching the interview last night, it was kind of an eye-opener for me in that, and I kind of already knew this, I understand the charm that Donald Trump brings. I just don't think it transfers to being the president of the United States. So give us a call or a text. What are your thoughts on this?
And we mentioned, I said he's a character. He was great on The Apprentice. That was a perfect job for him.
Right.
I know Ronald Reagan was in the entertainment business before he became president.
Yep.
We mentioned
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. And I forgot
Fred
Jesse
Grandy.
Ventura. Oh, yeah.
Gopher from The Love Boat.
I want him as president.
Did you say Sonny Bono? Did you have
Sonny Bono? Right.
Oh, poor Sonny.
Clint Eastwood. was the mayor
a
of
moment
a town.
Of silence after
Clint Eastwood
that.
Was the mayor of Carmel, California
Clinton
for a while.
Clinton's empty chair can, you know, he's changed.
He had a rising career right up till the convention.
Yes. Yeah, hi, no. Rhonda. Thanks for calling.
Well, I know you mentioned Ronald Reagan, and technically I'm a Democrat, but I've been promoting all the Republicans lately, including Jeb Bush. If anybody that's on the Republican, Jeb Bush is the best qualified to be our president of the Republicans.
Why can I run a really quick aside note? I've heard many people say that. Why isn't it transferring into support for him?
Because Donald Trump is an entertainer. He's attracting all the entertainment. But I wanted to say something good about Ronald Reagan.
Sure.
And I'm 65 years old. I've been through all the... Ronald Reagan, first of all, I believe he was governor of California for two terms. Ronald Reagan is a diplomat, or was a diplomat. He was very diplomatic.
Right.
He was very appropriate at all times. And when you're going to be the leader of the free world, the most powerful man in the world.
Yeah.
You can't be an entertainer like Donald Trump. You need to be someone like Ronald Reagan. And I, like I mentioned, I guess a lot of my leanings are towards being a Democrat, but I read Ronald Reagan's son wrote a book called My Father at 100.
Reagan, his son, yeah. Ron, yeah.
Yes, and it's a very interesting book, and it really gave you an appreciation for the man. And despite Ronald Reagan was appropriate, whether he was on television, whether he was leading California, or whether he was president of the United States for two terms, he was a diplomat, and he knew how to, these people that we're going to be dealing with on our foreign issues, the domestic issues notwithstanding, and we have a lot of domestic issues, but the foreign issues are the most important, in my opinion, in the next 10 years, because there's a lot of crazy people with a lot of power.
That's true. Rhonda, we have to run to some other callers, but I totally understand what you're saying, and you need someone to be able to handle that tactfully, and Ronald Reagan did.
He seemed to. Yeah.
Thank you, Rhonda. John, what do you think?
Hello. Love your show.
Thank you. We love you.
In January, we celebrate the life of Martin Luther King.
Right.
Now, there was a man who had real charisma.
Mm-hmm.
There is a man that led a movement, nonviolence was his credo, and he was intelligent. This Donald Trump here reminds me of McCarthyism. Back in the Red Scare era,
mm-hmm.
in the 1950s. He appeals to the ignorant. He talks about things without having complete facts. Joe McCarthy said he knew of hundreds that were in the government that were communists.
Mm-hmm.
Not one. He even said that General Walker, who was the architect of the Marshall, General Marshall was the architect of the Marshall Plan, to keep communism from spreading in Europe, he claimed he was a communist. Now, this Donald Trump is in the same vein. He's a fraud, and he will be exposed eventually. His ideas border on lunacy, and he doesn't have a snowball's chance in, you know, where.
Well, John, here's the only thing I'll take issue with is...
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't interrupt me.
Oh, well, wait, John.
Wait. Now, you said he has charisma. Who thinks that he really has charisma?
He's entertaining.
It's those ignorant people on the far right.
All right. Now we're,
Steve,
you know,
Steve,
we're going to interrupt you. Thank you, John.
Well, I was going to say he has been exposed repeatedly. That's what's so different this time. You know, because he has said things that are...
But it doesn't seem to hurt him.
It helps him.
It helps him.
Right.
So what has changed in the process? You know, the other day I was talking about Ben Carson and how every time Ben Carson has said something that's been questionable on any level, it's hurt Ben Carson. But any time Donald Trump says something that's questionable, it helps him. What's different? What is he doing differently?
And we have some more calls, too. And I just don't like the name calling and the anger. That's what I don't like about politics. Can't people just discuss, here's what I think. Oh, no, you're wrong. No, just say, oh, wow, that's interesting. This is what I think. So,
it gets heated. Now, can I tell you something? I know you didn't see Jimmy Kimmel last night, but Jimmy Kimmel asked him a question, and it somehow translated into this. And I've said this every time there's a debate. these guys stand up alongside of each other and they rip each other to shreds. And then when the debate is over, they all shake hands and they all smile. And I wouldn't do it that way. If some guy was ripping me and I was ripping another guy, when it was over, the last thing I would do is shake hands with him and smile and take a picture with him. And Donald Trump even said that. He goes, it's not like any other business. Politics is the only business where that happens.
And sports. Look at the Hawks and stuff. They are notorious for playing good at the end of the game and the sportsmanship.
And then there's the handshake line. Yeah. All right, you're right.
But that's at least you're competing on a fair level. I mean, this is where you're saying, this guy's an idiot. Let me tell you why.
That's true.
And there's so much more at stake.
You know what that speaks to?
What?
How phony it all is.
Right. But Trump called that out. Trump was saying this is the only business where you can do that, where you can belittle the other guy, and then when it's all done, you shake hands and smile and stuff like that. But he does it, I think, more than anybody.
And that's just it. Not everyone belittles another person. He's made it an art form in these past debates.
Yeah.
And this is why Tom might have a good idea. Hi, Tom.
How are you today?
Great, Tom. What's up?
I have an opposing opinion.
Okay, sure.
I think the most definite thing we have is mistrust of government as a whole. Government is government, but the corruption, the money, everything has built up nothing but mistrust.
Right.
So Trump, to me, is so transparent, he almost can't help himself. And that's what we're looking for. Let's face it. The guy is an achiever. He's done things. He's built things. He is 100% honest. He's not politically correct. It's only a 4-year term. We cannot keep going with what we already have. The system has crumbled. Why would we want to give somebody a real chance for 4 years? He accomplishes things. He comes out and tells you exactly what is on his mind.
But Jim, don't you think the difference is with Donald Trump, he has run businesses. And when you're the boss of a business, you have a lot of people working underneath you who shake their head and go, well, that's the boss, so we have to do it that way. But the presidency has checks and balances that doesn't allow that.
Oh, no. He wants to surround himself with the smartest people in the world and value their opinion. So if you have a person who's looking for outside help, a valued opinion, a smart opinion, a educated opinion, it seems to me as though he would go by that advice and make his own call.
One of the things he wants to do is keep people out of the country based on their religion. Do you, and I'm not accusing her of saying good, bad, dumb, whatever. Do you support that idea?
Well, he says that, but let's be smart, and that's not what he really means. What he means is the Muslim people as a whole are coming into the country presently and destroying things and killing people. So why wouldn't you want to put a hold on that until we can actually stop and figure it out? But why would you want to just keep going business as normal and it's not working?
So if you have a cousin from Ireland who's Muslim, should he or she not be allowed to come into the country because there's threats from Syria?
Until we get a grip on things, yes.
Based only on your cousin's religion?
Unfortunately, that's the world we live in, my friend.
What about these shootings that have happened with people who live in the United States?
Well, you know what? Sometimes it's a cruel world. That's never gone away. That's been here since Christ. All we can do is try something different at this point. The government is so misleading, so corrupt, so ruled by money. Trump puts his money where his mouth is. And that's what we need. We need a shakeup. We're going business as normal, and it's not going to work. It's not. It's already failed.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your opinion. And that's what I love. I honestly love listening to different people's opinions to see what they have to say. And there are a lot of valid points that people make, and there are some ridiculous ones as well. But it is fascinating to have a conversation, and we'll continue to do that. 312-981-7200. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. We're talking about Donald Trump's appearance on Jimmy Kimmel, and now it is kind of branched into talk about, do we want Trump to be president? Some people do. Jim has a fascinating theory. He called us at 312-981-7200. Hey, Jim.
Hi there. Remember, you heard it from me first.
All right.
He has no intention, never has, of being president. He is having a ball. He's eating this up, and I'm almost enjoying this whole thing because even if he would win the Republican nomination, if he did, he's not going to win the presidency, and he knows that. And he's having a ball, so he is just living off of this thing, and he's laughing up his sleeve.
Jim, other than publicity, though, what would he get out of doing that?
Just to prove he could do it.
The satisfaction of bringing up a lot of points that people believe, you know, or they think, whether they're right or wrong, you know, they're might be extreme. He's bringing them up, and they're saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. They got somebody to cheer for. The government does need a change. We do need help. And he's bringing up these points because he wouldn't be able to follow through on these things. But I know a lot of people that are saying, oh, God, that's it. You know, he's right. They should. And, my God, he's getting their enthusiasm up. And maybe he'll bring more people out to vote.
It does seem like a lot of people who weren't interested in the presidential debates and the election on the whole are now paying more attention.
Right.
Absolutely. And just because he's there.
And maybe if it gets us thinking about other options, but then again, who's the right option? Jim, that's a great theory. Thank you.
Last night on Jimmy Kimmel, he brought up the fact that the ratings for the Republican debates have been through the roof. They've been the highest
debate ratings.
So he says, now this will illustrate my point of, here's an amusing, funny guy, yay, but he's running for president. Uh-oh. He said, I should get a cut of that. I've brought their ratings up. He talked about what they used to charge for ratings to, you know, to buy ad time and what they're charging now because the ratings are so high. I should get a cut of that. And you just go, all right, that's really funny. But, uh-oh, do you mean that? You really mean that?
See, it's like an April Fool's joke or something.
Well, he's striking to me, too, that because he always speaks in wins and losses.
Yes.
Oh, you know, he's like, I'm huge for the ratings.
Yes.
When he put down George Bush, or Jeb Bush, rather, he goes, I'm a 42, you're at 3.
Right.
You know, you never hear a candidate say,
no.
I'm polling at 38 right now, and you're polling at 22. You know, no one does.
But he always does.
He's always about the scorekeeping of it.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's just a unique thing.
Yeah.
But it is getting people paying more attention to the debates and stuff. So in
that's
the grand
a good
scheme
thing.
Of life,
I know.
It'll work to our advantage in the future. Can I share a text with you?
Sure.
708. After the last debate, I was sad. They blamed the president, President Obama, for everything. I feel even though he's been president for 7 years, some are still trying to convince us he wasn't born a citizen and that he's Muslim, which shouldn't matter anyway. It's almost as if some people are happy the Muslim issue has come back. It's very disturbing and it's very sad.
Right. True. All true. Every part of that's true.
It does.
And Trump says, they said, what's that first day going to be like? If you're the president of the United States, what would your first day be like? So his platform on that is he's going to undo everything that Barack Obama's done in his presidency. From health care reform, you name it, he's going to undo it. That's going to be his first day in office. Is that good?
Can you even do that?
He says he can.
Well, Obama has been criticized for doing a lot of things by executive order because he couldn't get Congress to agree with him. So the next executive could issue contrary executive orders.
How about
but
that?
But not health care reform and things like that.
But Steve, you heard him say that's his move on day one.
I don't know if I heard him or just dreamed him saying that, but a lot of people, you know, say that. That's the first day I'm going to undo everything that Bill left did.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck, because he's done a lot.
I've done a lot.
Oops. Hi, Marilyn. How are you today?
Oh, I'm so entertained, and I'm so happy that WGN has its balance back. We're all grateful for you
Thank
guys.
You.
Well, that's because Trump is running this radio station now.
That's right. They're great guys, and we all appreciate them.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marilyn.
It sounds like fully playground politics every time he speaks.
It is a little bully-esque.
Oh, yeah. My question is this. Let's say Kissinger is in his prime. Pick out somebody else that was a great statesman that did a lot of things for the country that was a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone agrees that he's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to come help Trump? You think Trump's going to pick up the phone and call somebody of the caliber of those people and say, look, I was just somehow miraculously slid into this office on the back of something, and I need the best people in the world. Don't you think those people would say, good luck, buddy?
Yeah, I think there'd be plenty of people apprehensive to link their names to his I would imagine.
Absolutely. I never even thought of that, Marilyn. But really, you get a call from Donald Trump. Yeah, I'm president now. I'm undoing everything Barack Obama has done. Yeah. Will you come work for me? I don't know who's going to jump on that bandwagon.
I can't see this. You know, it just seems to me that he's an entertainer. You guys are 100% right. He's brash and he's so foibled.
Right.
And it takes me back. Okay, we can put, I saw a thing this morning on the internet that had him and it had Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
They named the panel, you know, the office, the vice president. And I was sinking into my boots thinking, oh my God. Because when you have, I'm going to go back to Kissinger.
Sure.
Power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. And people who think that Mr. Trump isn't planning to get elected and doesn't want to do this are misreading this billionaire's, even if that's inflated, intention.
Yeah. All good point. Thank you, Marilyn. We appreciate it. Have a great holiday.
Thank you so much.
I mean, you know, first of all, he's running, and it's not been that hard
right.
for him to do
oh,
so well.
Oh, it's been a breeze.
Right? So you're like, well, why wouldn't I want to be president,
right.
too?
Right. You're an inch away from the White House.
And 630 says, this guy spending $1 billion just to pad up his ego? Yeah, no.
I can't
but
imagine.
But, I mean, what does he need? I mean, financially. What else does he have to do now? This is a fun thing for him. He doesn't need the $1 billion.
The pay cut alone of going from his empire now to being the president would cost him so much money. It doesn't make sense, but boy, is that scary. It just is. Although Secretary of State Bill Rancic might disagree. he'll only name people that have been on the
Absolutely.
The
Omarosa, what's she going to do?
They'll find something for Omarosa. It'll be fine. All right. Thanks, everybody, for the calls and the texts. I wish we had more time. We're going to break for news in a little bit, and then a lot more show coming your way after that. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I am not going to spend a lot of time on Star Wars because there are a lot of people that aren't that into it and aren't going to go see it.
Yeah.
You're going to see it?
Tonight at 9:15.
Damn it. I see it at 10. You're going to see it before me. Don't text anything to me to ruin it.
How cruel would that be?
Knowing will, you would like
I would
to
never
do that.
What movie was I talking about earlier that was 45 years old and I wasn't divulging
the
any?
Sixth Sense.
The Sixth Sense. I never tell anybody the ending of any movie.
Steve, I'm going to ask you, are you going to go see it?
I think I might go see it over Christmas just because there's a family thing that they're trying to figure out what to do. And
some of your family members want to see it?
Yeah.
All right.
You don't sound excited about it, though.
I'm not a big fan of it. It's never quite caught me, but my son likes it a lot.
Yeah.
And Kevin, are you going to go see The Force Awakens?
Yeah.
Eventually, you're not going to hit it over tonight.
No, I'm not. I'm going to wait till it dies. Hopefully, not have it spoiled for me. But I'm going to wait a week or two, probably.
See, I don't know that I'd really be going tonight if Jim wasn't going.
I don't think you would be.
I mean, I would see it and I would be looking forward to it, but it's not like I'd have to go opening night. I've never been that type of person.
Right.
But I think this is different than like the new Bond movie or something where this really could be spoiled.
It easily could be.
We read yesterday, somebody just Googled how long is the movie and a major thing came up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say something right now. It is not a spoiler and mm-hmm. I'm really only giving you what Variety.com is saying. And I'm not reading down into the article because I'm scared they might spoil something.
Right.
But I thought this was pretty fascinating. Star Wars The Force Awakens becomes the best-selling movie of all time on Fandango, and the weird thing is it really hasn't officially opened yet.
Well, I think they mean an advance sale.
It has sold more tickets than any other film in history on Fandango.
Okay, all right, but it's not the best-selling movie of all time. It's not...
on Fandango.
Right, on Fandango it is, but it's not... Avatar is the one that has the top... You know, box office receipts, you know, after like a year in theaters or whatever. It hasn't beaten that, but it's on Fandango, right?
The seventh film in the hit franchise previously shattered pre-sales records, but now the online ticketer reports that it has sold more tickets than any film has moved during its entire theatrical run.
It's impressive.
It's crazy.
And that's with... Most of that was with no reviews out. It's just the anticipation of what it could be.
To earn the record, The Force Awakens moved past Jurassic World. The rest of the top five biggest sellers are The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Avengers, Age of Ultron, and The Hunger Games.
Yeah. So those are all very recent. Those are all just in the last couple of years.
The Force Awakens has already generated more than $100 million in pre-sales, and seats have been purchased well into 2016.
Well, yeah, that makes
sense. Industry analysts believe that The Force Awakens will break Jurassic World's record, 208.4 million opening, to become the biggest debut in the history of
films. I'm sure
films.
Of it.
You really do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
Wow.
It will. It will.
All right. Well, I'm not reading anymore. I'm surprised I kept scrolling down, but that is shocking to me. It hasn't even opened.
This is one of those cases with a movie that could not lose, even if the reviews were terrible, even if every review that came out in the next couple of days just said this is the worst movie we've ever seen. There's so much built up anticipation of people who have lived this lifestyle for so long. It couldn't miss.
I'm excited to see it. I have to tell you, A+. Dean Richards says A+.
He loved it. Dean loved it. I read this, and guess who I thought of?
Depends what it is.
I thought of you.
Why?
Because...
Is it about a beautiful woman who
yes.
helps everyone in the world yes. and is very pleasant and fun to be around?
Exactly what the story is about. It's about clutter. This is a story about clutter. Now, we have... Uh-oh. Somebody's choking. We have talked about the fact that your house has... I'm trying to remember how you worded it. There are stacks of things in places in your house, of things that have not been put away.
I don't have a mud room like a lot of people do have.
Yeah.
Do you have a mud room?
No.
It's not a room made of mud. It's like a landing area.
I would like
area.
To have that.
Yeah. I know. What would you do in it?
Trap woolly mammoths.
I have a lot of clutter. I have various piles. You can look at my desk, but I... You're not that neat either, I have to tell you. Your desk is not that neat.
Oh, but there's
Kevin,
a huge difference.
Kevin, is it that different between our desks?
There's a huge difference.
Please be honest.
Here's the major difference. You both have the big stack of paper and nonsense. However, Bill's ends up in his drawer when he leaves.
So if I opened his drawer...
You would find that.
Okay, but pile. See, you win because it's not there for people to see.
But we've had instances of there will be a missing person alert, and they'll find that person in your
office.
That's
really funny.
Hidden under some papers.
I cleaned off my dining room table, which seems to be the landing spot for everything.
Yeah. And
it's not just mine. It's like stuff, like school stuff.
But how did that become the place where all things end up in your house? Like, how did that just naturally
become? Because I don't have a good organizational system, and like school papers and bills,
right.
I should have a spot for.
Sure.
The kids' closets were kind of filled with toys from when they were babies, which I finally cleaned out. So now they can hang up their clothes. So if Michael had his choir robe, I would just kind of, you know, drape it over the dining room table so it wouldn't get wrinkled. And then when he needed it, I knew where it was, because if I put it somewhere else, I could never find it again.
But didn't you say, I'm trying to remember the time frame because I don't remember it off the top of my head, but you said we haven't even used our dining room table in...
Once a year, Thanksgiving.
Once a year.
But, I clean it usually twice a year, and I've cleaned it because I hosted Thanksgiving, and it's still relatively clean.
Oh, well, that's good.
And I am working very hard this year to try and find a place. I'm off starting next week.
Yeah.
I really am going to tackle some organizational issues so everything has a place. Because the problem is if you don't have a place to put something, you can't put it away.
But remember last year when they found Amelia Earhart in that pile and how embarrassed you were?
Piling on
Here's
to
what,
your own pile.
No one was surprised by that, Bill.
Nobody was surprised.
But the plane was a little shocking.
That was shocking. Yeah.
But
plane.
Can I tell you something that is a little problematic?
Right. What is it?
I cleaned off the dining room table and some of the stuff might have, some of the piles might have gone in clothes baskets.
Really?
Just so I could move them to my room.
So you just filled up a clothes basket.
Well, I'll get to it when I haven't had time off.
You had a whole week off. That's what you said you're going to do. I've got a week off.
Oh, that was cleaning the house. That was cleaning the area where people would... I'm not a good housekeeper, you guys. I'm sorry. I'll say it right now. I'm really not. So there are some things that I have yet to go through that I put into a clothes basket that's in my room.
It's like a clutter caravan now.
It is. But it's out of the common areas of the home. So if I wasn't on the radio
right.
fessing up, right. no one would know that. The problem is everything that has been stashed, I didn't realize that Jim's Star Wars podcast partner is coming in to spend the weekend with us.
Right. And so, he likes a clean house.
Well, he's got clean, like there's no germs. I was scrubbing the shower with a toothbrush last night and everything, like in between the grout. Uh-huh. Everything's really clean.
Right.
The Star Wars room is really clean. The family room, the front room, the whole first floor. If Jason goes into any kid's bedroom or our bedroom...
There'll be an avalanche
absolutely.
Of garbage. Well, Jason, don't do it. I thought of you because I read this, and it's like a test to see... If you have too much clutter, do you know in advance that you flunked? You may, maybe the curve is low on this.
No, I suck.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. I'll give you the test. We'll determine whether or not you have too much clutter in your life. I'm just looking over. You do. I don't even need to give you this test.
I know. I'm so ashamed.
Don't be ashamed. It's okay. There, help is on the way, Wendy. We'll take a quick break and then we'll take the test. Do you have too much clutter in your life? It's Bill and Wendy WGN. Wendy, do you have too much clutter? A while ago, you invented the peanut clutter and jelly sandwich. So maybe you do have too much clutter. I'll read these to you.
You're hurtful.
Answer yes or no. Do you have more than one junk drawer?
In the room or total?
I think they meant in the house, but do you have more than one junk drawer in a room?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'll put you down.
I have a junk room.
Junk room.
A couple junk closets.
Are you embarrassed to have people over, especially since your furniture has become vessels for holding clothing?
Yes.
All right. You're 2 for 2.
Crap.
When you have a box of miscellaneous wires or that go with something, do you not know what to do with them? Is there any place in your house where you just have boxes of wires or cable or something? You don't know what they go to?
I wish we were at my house right now. I could pull out a couple jewel bags and a couple shoe boxes with various wires and stuff.
Have you ever,
I have.
You've gone back and said, yes. Oh, there's that wire.
I've used it to... put some garden sculptures in the garden.
All right.
I've rewired a light. Yeah. I needed that, so I'm glad I had the wire. You never know when you're going to need it.
I will say on that one that I think most people have something like that somewhere, like a utility room or somewhere where you just go, okay. Like I'm like that with computer pieces. I'm not very computer savvy, so every once in a while I'll upgrade and I'll go, I should really keep that connector because I'll probably need that at some point. I've never used them.
See, that's funny to me because you... And computer little gadgets that, I mean, you will never go back and you don't even,
are.
I know.
I think most of them probably aren't used. I have stuff downstairs. We have a room, like a furnace room, and I have a box of stuff like that. And I wouldn't know what to, like if it said we need this sort of a wire, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know how to connect it. Do you have any medicine in your medicine cabinet that expired in 2009 or earlier?
What month?
It doesn't say the month.
Yeah.
You do, all right? You're 4 for 4. But maybe you're just riding a bad streak.
I think she's acing the test so far.
Patrick Kane just texted me. He's jealous of the streak that you're on.
That's not funny.
Is your version of cleaning just placing things into piles? And I'm going to show you the question to show to you that I'm not making these questions up. These are on the test. Do you just, instead of cleaning things, do you just place things into piles?
I.e. baskets.
Like a basket, for instance.
Why don't you let Steve answer the rest of these for me? Yes?
5 for 5. 5 for fighting. Do you have any boxes that are filled with cassettes or old VHS tapes, but you no longer have a cassette player or a VHS player?
I would have to say no because we have a cassette player and we have a VHS player, and a lot of those are our old shows.
Oh, from
various
career,
radio
from
stations. Yes, so they're all career related. It's not like, you know, Geddy Lee's greatest hits. That was for you, Kevin.
But somewhere, don't you have, because I have up in storage, I have a bunch of TV shows that I taped on either Beta or VHS, and it would just be really easy to throw those away.
I think I have every episode of The X-Files
on
VHS.
On VHS?
And I suppose I could throw those out.
I don't understand. Why are we holding on to those? Do you have any drawings or papers from when you were in elementary school?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, but my sister will find things at the house we grew up in, and she wraps them up for Christmas and gives them to me. Like, I made this embroidery thing that said, bless this home. I made it for my mom.
Yeah.
And my sister thinks it's very funny to wrap it up and give it to me for Christmas or my birthday. And I'll go, oh, my God, that's... Didn't I make that?
It's like you made a gift for your future self.
Right. And then she's just trying to purge things out of her house, so she gives it to me.
It's like Back to the Future. I love that.
It is.
We have a very dysfunctional family.
You visited a different age of yourself. No, I
was nicer then.
Can I tell you what I saved? I saved a bunch of things from grade school, like projects, with the sole intention of one day showing them to my kids. And when I did, guess what they said? Who cares? I showed them like this thing that I made of the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Like when I was a kid, I was like in fourth grade. It's like, this is fantastic. One day I'll have kids and I'll show them this salute to Christopher Columbus. I remember showing it to them and they looked at me like, burn that. Why would you save that?
I've seen some of like my parents' like old report cards and stuff, and that's actually pretty cool.
I have those too, yeah. And yearbooks.
They weren't, well, my dad wasn't the best.
Really?
Grade-wise?
Yeah, I got better grades than my dad.
So why would he save that to prove that? I would only save it, like my grades are pretty good, so I did save some of, we had a thing called star cards. Did you have these in grade school where if you did something nice, you went up to the front, the teacher put a gold star or a silver star, but if you did something bad, you got a black star?
Was this like in first grade?
First and second grade.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So I saved those to show my kids, and they're like, please.
We got an iPhone for getting a good grade.
Right.
I mean, things have advanced so much that your Nina, Pinto, and Santa Maria really probably look like crap from what they're doing.
Kids are no longer allowed to do bad things in school. Teachers can't point that out. It's all
right.
Good.
Yeah, you're right.
Everything
tried. You tried so hard.
Wendy, I hate to break the news to you. You didn't do that well. You're in the 3rd percentile, and that's not good. But it doesn't mean you can't improve. Everything will be fine. It's just the midterm. You'll be fine.
All right, but there's some that I don't. When you have more broken kitchen appliances than ones that work, there's no way.
That's not you, right?
When getting rid of old shoes is like ripping out a piece of your heart, okay, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, no one's going to get a perfect score.
All right, well, I'm not alone. There are so many people texting right now. Wendy, I feel for you. You're in a house with 3 men. Bill has no excuse. He's in a house with 3 women.
You have other supporters who'd like to text you, but they can't get around the pile to find their phone.
That's not funny.
No.
It's accurate. Why are you laughing?
It's accurate.
I was just thinking of left.
I was just telling you off the air, we used to have a person who cleaned the house, and
right.
I'm like,
can't
I can
find
do
her.
It.
She's in the house somewhere. We just don't know where she is.
Leaving.
We'll take a quick break, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Yeah, instant karma's going to get you. They always talk about the karma train, Bill, don't they?
I've heard many stories about the karma train, and boy, does this story illustrate it. A couple of weeks ago, we told you about this former hedge fund manager, Martin Scorelli, and I think I said at the time, he's probably the most despised guy on the planet
despicable,
right now.
Despicable, I think you said.
I did say despicable.
Yeah.
Well, there's been another exciting twist in the Martin Scorelli saga. Here to join us right now from ABC is Lindsay Davis. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very, very good. Thanks for asking. Give a little background, if you wouldn't mind, Lindsay, about the man we're discussing, this Martin Scorelli. What do we need to know about him?
Sure. And if you don't mind, I'm going to just start off at the top just telling you that we're in the lobby of the federal courthouse in Brooklyn. We're expecting him to come out any minute and walk right by. So if I'm interrupted for any reason, that's why.
Okay.
Apparently, I wasn't allowed to have a cell phone in the courtroom, so I had to leave. But he apparently just made it out on $5 million bail. So just to give you a background, of course, as you were saying, this is a guy that was originally known as the bad boy of pharmaceuticals for a very different reason than what we're talking about today. That was because he had increased the price of that life-saving drug from $13.50 to $750 a tablet overnight. But then this morning, he was arrested on unrelated fraud charges. Now, he's charged on 7 counts for orchestrating 3 interrelated schemes. According to the indictment, he essentially ran his company like a Ponzi scheme. So he used subsequent companies to pay off frauded investors from a prior company. He'd actually started a hedge fund in 2009, allegedly took out about $3 million from 8 different investors. When he lost the $3 million through a series of bad trades, he didn't tell those investors that he lost their money. Instead, he started a new hedge fund in 2011, and then he got new investors. So basically, he would take money from the new investors and pay off the old investors, namely, and basically because he didn't want to tell the investors that they weren't doing well. So then we get to Metrofin, the company that he ultimately took public, and that company did do very well. But investigators say the two defendants, Shkreli, and also company counsel, Evan Grable, who was also arrested today, they used Metrofin as a personal piggy bank to pay back the shareholders from both firms, who was then, at that point, were repeatedly demanding their initial investments and the returns on their investments back. So, as you say, not the most white guy in America.
Absolutely not. So obviously it makes sense now why he raised the price from $13 a pill to $750, because he was trying to make money to pay off his other debts, right?
Exactly. That one can't necessarily jump to that conclusion, but it seems like it would be pretty easy to connect those dots.
Lindsay, his business tactics that you described, and you said very Ponzi scheme-like, and they are, there's almost ways, it's not unprecedented, there's ways that businesses can do this legally and make it work. What was he doing differently that made it illegal?
The problem was that this firm was a public firm. So you really, there was, a board and everything that he really needed to be running these things by, and he wasn't. So basically, if you own your own restaurant, you can take money out of the cash register if you own your own restaurant. Right? But if other people have a stake in that restaurant, you can't just take the money out of the register without asking for their permission first.
Well, I'm sorry to say that if he does walk out while you're on the phone with us, if you could just spit on him for me, that might be a...
You know, I'm actually being told I have to go outside now, so I'm not going to be able to stay on the phone.
Okay, but, well, we appreciate the information.
Thank you, Lindsay. Appreciate it.
We'll pass it along to you.
All right.
Thank you very much, Lindsay Davis, ABC News correspondent in Brooklyn in the courtroom as Martin Scorsese is getting walked out. Did you say $5 million bond?
Yeah. Now, I don't know. Whenever they ask for bond for somebody like this, you have to pay 10%. So I don't know if that means bond was set at $5 million and he ended up paying 10% of that, or that the $5 million was the 10% of a higher bond. I don't know the answer to
that.
What's
the difference between bail and bond? Because that's what, in all my years of being arrested, I should have known this.
You would think. Steve, do you know what the difference is there between bail and bond? Is there a difference that you know? Is Steve available?
He's refused
Steve is not
to
available.
Answer us.
I don't know the answer to that. And I also don't know, I think I may have brought this up with you at some point, if you pay that 10%, if at some point you have to go back and pay the balance of it, the other 90%, because then why do they play the game of making bond one thing if you only have to pay 10%?
I don't really understand that, but I went to findlaw.com. When criminal defendants are released from prison, some are bonded out while others are bailed out. If you consume enough criminal news, the two terms start to look interchangeable, as though they both mean the same thing. While they both have the same effect, temporary freedom, they're actually different. The difference between bond and bail is a subtle one, but it ultimately comes down to the source of the money, who and what is securing the defendant's freedom. Bail is the monetary amount a defendant must pay to secure his release. So I think she said bail.
I think she did say bail.
If he fails to appear at a specified time, he forfeits that amount.
Okay.
So I'm getting out on a $5 bail because my crime wasn't that big. And if I go to court and I'm found not guilty, I'd get that $5 back?
I think so.
God, thank God we don't break the law, because we would really be
thank
bad.
God we don't get caught for breaking the
True.
Law.
True. If the defendant or his family pays bail, he's been bailed out of jail, but many criminal defendants don't have the funds to make bail. This is where bonds come in. Bonds are bail monies paid by a bail bond company.
Oh.
The defendant secures a loan with collateral such as a car or a house. He also pays a set fee, usually 10% of the bail amount.
So that's the difference between bail and bond. But what happens if Christian Bale plays James Bond? That will make it a lot more difficult to understand.
But that would be a great movie.
That would be a very fun movie. He first, as I mentioned earlier, came to our attention, this Martin Scorsese guy, because of the drug Daraprim. He ran this group. He was in charge of this group that purchased the rights to this drug, Daraprim, and then overnight, without any warning at all, raised it by 4,000%. Even though it was common knowledge to all parties involved that without this drug, somebody suffering could potentially die, it didn't seem to bother him. He was out to make a very, very fast buck. The price was $18 and quickly rose to $750, and that's per pill.
I know. I can't even believe that. And, I mean, I know that the correspondent, Lindsay Davis, we just spoke to, said that you can't make that correlation, but yes, you can. If all of a sudden a pill that costs $18, you start charging $750, and it turns out that he owes money to a lot of other people, doesn't it seem apparent that he's trying to get rich quick to pay off the shareholders of another company he was involved in?
He seemed like a guy, and I didn't know too much about this guy. I still don't know that much about him. I only know what I've read
he's
in this
young,
story.
Right?
He's a young guy, but he just seems the kind of guy who just is doing whatever he can to get as much money as he can, as fast as he can, which I don't know if you remember at the time we were saying, isn't this country built on that principle of let me find a way to make a lot of money very, very quickly, but it shouldn't come at the cost of people's lives.
Absolutely. And plus, you know, gradually raise it.
If you have to raise it at all.
$18 to $750 per pill.
Right. And I don't know if you'll remember this part, but at the time when people started calling him out on this, and we're going back several months, I want to say this was toward the end of the summer, wasn't it? Was this in August somewhere? He was saying he
yes,
was looking
August.
At not making it as high. He didn't want to make it. He was rethinking it. It wouldn't be $750, but he wouldn't commit to a price.
Like, but he could have come back with, okay, I'll go $749.
Right, right.
It's not as high.
He'll give you a little discount. I know.
Well, karma is, be careful, because that karma train is going to come back and run you over.
It'll crash right into you. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have a lot more to do before the show is out. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, ya.
How you doing?
Fine, ya.
As the year is drawing to a close, can we go over Google's most popular search terms of 2015?
Yes, I think we need to do this.
I would say Google is a good search term.
A lot of people are Googling Google.
I haven't done that yet. I'm going to.
See what comes up.
And it has, the word Google has been part of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary since 2006. That surprises me it was in there that long ago.
That long ago? It is just, it's funny how, you know, for thousands of millions of years, nobody would say, well, just Google it, and now everybody knows. Like, when was the last time somebody said it, and somebody goes, wait, Google it? What are you talking about?
But you never say, I'm going to search the internet, don't
right.
you say, I'm going to Google it?
Yeah. It's become like,
the instead Kleenex.
Of Kleenex or Coke, it's become the word, meaning I'm going to search for something on the internet.
Absolutely great. The word Google has been part of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary since 2006. Which tells you just how vital the search engine has become. I like their little pictures that they have on various holidays and
right.
such. Google's annual list of its most popular search items, according to Time.com, gives us a snapshot of what people have been most curious about over the past year.
The last several years, you'll be shocked to learn that the Kardashians were at the top of the list the last several years, if not in the number one spot, very close to.
Well, this is a related one. Well, let's work our way up from 10 to 1. How's
all right.
that?
All right.
And see, this is where it isn't fair, because I guess it doesn't go recent, because, you know, what's the number one may not have been that if it wasn't fairly recent.
No.
But I guess it's just the number of hits, not when it happens.
Right, 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 right.
Number 10, Straight Outta Compton.
The movie.
Yeah.
yeah.
Did you see that?
I did not see that. I lived that. I don't need to see it. That's my life, Wendy, right there on the silver screen.
Didn't Dean
the
like it?
The hard knock life of a rapper. I know it all too well. Yeah, it
I
got some pretty
good
reviews.
That. Yeah, I've wanted to see that, but I haven't gotten it
got
yet.
Got some very good reviews.
Fallout 4.
That's
a
video game.
A new video game. I got that for one of my sons, Michael, in May.
So with something like that, with a video game, what are people Googling exactly? They either know it's a video game or they don't. Are they just Googling it to
well,
find out what
it's
happens?
It's in the word would be in the search. Like,
like game hints for it or something.
Or anything.
Like
how much is Fallout 4?
Oh.
When is it available?
Oh, okay.
So anything that involves these terms. So that's Straight Outta Compton was 10, then Fallout 4 was number 9. Chris Kyle, number 8. American Sniper,
yeah.
based on his story.
It is.
Was that this year that American Sniper came out?
It came out at about this time last year. I think it came out in December of last
oh, okay.
year, I think.
That makes sense. Well, no, it doesn't. Wouldn't it have been searched then in December?
Yeah, but
December 25th, 2014.
Were things that happened with his widow over the years, and with the man who, I hate to say this.
Yeah, don't. The man
alert.
Who he was involved with.
Yeah.
All right. So that's number 8, Chris Kyle. 7. I do not have any idea what this is. Agario.
Oh, that's also a video game.
Really?
Isn't it? I think so.
Kevin,
is that a video game? Agario?
Agario.
It's either a video game or an expensive Italian restaurant. I can't remember which. Maybe it's both. It's a video game about an expensive Italian restaurant. That's what it is.
I thought it was an Italian magician.
No, Agario is like a game with like amoebas or cells or something, I think.
The smash hit game, control your cell and eat other players to grow larger.
Yeah.
Like play with millions of players around the world and try to become the biggest cell of all. Multiplayer action game. I never, ever, ever heard of that.
Yeah, it's fairly popular.
Number six of the Google's most popular search terms of 2015, Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously after the attacks. Because at first I'm like, wait, Hilton or Perez?
The real one. And again, so what would you be Googling that for? I understand it's anything to do. Is that what it is for updates?
Yeah. I mean, haven't you? I did that just to see, you know, what any new developments were. You would just put Paris and then the first thing that comes up.
Right.
Ronda Rousey.
The boxer who just finally lost. The girl that they said will never lose a bout ever, and then she just lost her last match.
Caitlyn Jenner is number four.
That would have been my pick. I would have assumed that or Donald Trump was number one this year.
I would have thought Caitlyn Jenner was number
one. Would you? Yeah. There was a lot going on there.
Number three, American Sniper. Related to number eight, Chris Kyle, but on its separate thing.
I wonder why it got two different entries. Wouldn't that have been almost one and the same? Although if people
one's
were approaching
a movie, one's a real life.
Maybe people didn't know his name was Chris Kyle, so it was
who
easier.
Was American Sniper based on? That would count. Number two, Jurassic World.
Yeah.
I loved that movie.
It did really well, so.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought
did
it was
too.
Very entertaining, yeah.
And the number one, Google's most popular search term of 2015, according to Time.com, and this one kind of shocks me, Kardashian-related.
What is it?
Lamar Odom.
Oh, that's interesting. So,
I wouldn't.
I'm trying to think of why that would be the number one. I mean, it's terrible, sad story, but what would have made that the most curious to anyone anywhere near the internet? Why would they have been that curious on that particular subject?
I didn't think, and you know, everybody was so into that, and I haven't heard any updates, so let me just check. Lamar Odom to spend Christmas with his kids in the hospital. New details are coming out. This year's Christmas celebration will be a special one for Lamar Odom, according to Us Magazine. The former NBA star, 36, is still recovering at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in L.A., after being found unconscious at a Nevada brothel in October, but come December 25th, he'll be spending the holidays with his loved ones as he celebrates his progress.
Now, remind me, was it a kidney that he needed? There was some organ that he needed a transplant on, and I think it was on a day that you were out. Somebody let us know here on the show. I'm pretty sure you were out this day, that they received a record number of donors saying, if I match up with Lamar Odom, I would like him to have, I want to say his kidney. I'm pretty sure it was his kidney. Just from people who had seen him on reality television or knew his story, and just even though they were strangers, still wanted to say, I want to give part of my body to him.
That's really a special someone.
Isn't
that
it?
Would do that, because I'd have a hard time giving it to a family member, let alone, and
Didn't
I am kidding. So stop.
Well, you couldn't find
me.
It. Where's my kidney? It was on the dining room table, and now it's gone.
You are really, really
I know it's
funny.
Here somewhere.
Well, he'll be spending Christmas in the hospital as he recovers. That's the number one Google's most popular search.
Yeah, for the entire year.
I made it more popular because I just searched it.
Right. You can't even get on there now. All right, here's the game plan. A quick break. We'll come back. We'll find out what Ro and Anna have planned for you next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.